The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for the Oakland Raiders. And maybe even more importantly, the home opener for the New England Patriots here at
Literally.
The stadium.
Yeah. Stadium is just lots going on. Things
My crutches almost fell over.
But yeah, finishing touches on some of the construction out front and some of the new stuff in the bowl. And interesting.
So, and hopefully they might have some surprises in game entertainment, surprises for the, you know, I know every year they try to add some elements to the game day experience. So
they do.
Yeah. You know, little video montages and things like that.
I thought you meant like a mascot on a Segway shooting t-shirts into the crowd.
I doubt that.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That's not the that's not the Patriot way. But
I don't think my mic was on a Segway.
Segway.
Has to be on a
scooter.
Segway.
Quad. No, I'm not particular.
I like the four-wheeler.
I actually think the four-wheeler would be perfect because they sell them at Bass Pro, and Bass Pro does it as an advertisement. Boom, boom, costs you nothing. Boom, we got a
mascot.
And by the
way, on your way out today,
come stop
over,
by Bass Pro.
Pick up a four-wheeler.
Right. Have some wings.
Right.
See?
Right.
Fred, we have an important question to ask you. I remember the emotions
we
you
have
went
important
through.
Question.
When I was 14.
No. The emotions you went through when you finally realized that Lance Armstrong was a bad guy and one of your heroes fell. Are you feeling the same way today that now that one of your really your favorite running backs of all time, Jonathan Dwyer was arrested for domestic?
Not quite, but I guess he had actually spoken out against domestic violence.
Well, there were some tweets and stuff I saw.
Violets.
Yeah. I mean,
domestic violence.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, it's reached the point now though, like I said earlier, CNN tweets it out immediately. This is like CNN breaking news. NFL running back Jonathan Dwyer. 5 months ago, 5 years ago, CNN is not following the domestic abuse wire.
It's a hot topic right now. So
and I wonder if Belichick says to his team, Andy, believe it or not, we always tell our players not to beat their wives. But if there's a time where you can't get caught up in something, it's now. Because you're going down, and I'm going down, and we're all going down.
Not just domestic abuse, DUI, anything.
Right now is not the time. I know it's never the time, guys, but now is not the time.
We're
going to
come down on you harder than we normally would.
We're going to look bad, you're going to look bad, and there's going to be a price to pay more so than maybe it would have been previously.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he has that discussion on some level.
Yeah.
It's almost like just a skit at this point. I was telling Andy, as I was driving to the radio station yesterday, they had like the breaking news thing. And I almost thought that Felger was going to get on and say, it's been 48 hours since an NFL player has gotten in trouble. You know, making a joke out of it when they said, you know, we have more NFL player news.
Right.
And then they played their, you know, their corny breaking news thing. And it was to announce this. I was like, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live skit at
right.
this point.
Right.
You guys, including Gloria Allred or whatever, getting involved with
right.
Brandon Marshall.
From what was that, 2009?
6 to 9 or 7 to, it's like a 3-year span. She claims that the victim went to the Broncos, went to the NFL, went to Goodell, and everybody ignored it, swept it under the rug, whatever.
I don't like her because she's a shark.
Well, I just, to me, you lose credibility when
Barracuda.
I see her.
But you can't dismiss the charge.
I am.
You know? I can't.
I'm cynical and I dismiss her.
I know, but you just can't do that.
Why they did.
But like,
if you believe them.
But it does seem a little exploitive.
Yes.
You know?
But we're not talking about that today.
No, we're not. What was I just going to ask? Oh, you two were head to head yesterday.
I'm going to win that battle every time.
And Paul, you were on.
It's a head joke.
I was going back and forth, and I think Paul won the day because he got to sing on air. Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Oh, none of you. I mean, none of you can hold a key. It was unbelievable.
No, I think they need Beatle.
But he can sing.
Yeah, he
can.
Can
we go to the clip, Kevin? Kevin's not
sing.
Paying attention.
He did Fred Zeppelin.
Oh, I can sing. I can sing. What are we talking about?
They did do a little dirty pool.
Make you sweat. Go make it.
They isolated you.
There was a little dirty pool there. And I knew they were gonna have fun with it because the producer asked me, he goes, why don't you sing along when they sing the song? So I knew they were setting
me up. I was set up like
a
monk.
And I said to them, I always thought they were singing my song. It was like my tribute.
Right.
My tribute music. And they were singing. So I didn't feel comfortable singing along to myself. But I didn't know that they were going to play it in the final word
isolated
without the music means
a cappella,
because when they threw it up just raw, I mean, I figured that they would drop everybody else and just make me go, but to have it go a cappella, man,
but
that was bad.
But
that was really
and
bad.
That was funny, but to me the funniest thing is when the show first, I didn't know these guys sang the song with, you know, this Brady Bunch song. And the three of them, this three grown men in this radio studio singing this Brady Bunch song. I found that really funny.
Yeah, we do it before every show. And Maz always
What's
does
the song?
Sort of,
it's Sunshine Day.
It's, I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The sun is not calling my name.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch actually cut an album.
Came. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they did all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. A little bit of porn. little. They were into a lot of things.
But you got Tony in the background. Like doing these, like, you know,
right,
you know, outside all day,
and he was really into it.
Like, he really gets into it, and he just says like these random stupid. It's Tony at his best. Instead of like him just saying, "You're right, Mike," it's him being his goofy best. Like, yeah, as he's doing his background vocals.
Yeah,
and even when they threw like my mic up all by itself, you could hear Tony in the background with his stupid, because it was getting picked up on my mic.
Right. So that was happening yesterday afternoon. Do they put those things up on podcast? Can you get them after the fact? No?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyway.
I hope that's burned somewhere.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Good news, Fred.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Yes, what is the news?
Gerard Mayo, a proud papa for the third time and not injured.
As broken here on PFW in Progress.
It was?
We said yesterday, maybe he's out.
Well,
because
you
of the baby.
Speculated, but yeah, now we know for sure. Not injury-related.
Yeah.
And Collins was back out there.
Yep.
Dennard was on the injury report for the first time
the
with
shoulder,
a shoulder.
So the cover-up is complete.
What?
The cover-up is complete.
Oh, stop. He clearly has a shoulder issue.
Okay.
Did he have surgery in the off-season just to set up this cover-up?
No.
Oh, no.
But this is
That'd be stupid.
Very convenient.
You don't even believe your own crap.
All right. And then what else? Anything going on?
By the way, who was the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week?
Should have been Chandler Jones.
Well, I was thinking he legitimately could have been both.
Or Gostkowski. What did he have, like 10 field goals in that game?
3.
Okay.
Did Spiller get it?
I don't know. But legitimately, he could have been both, right? I mean, when you block a field goal and return it a good
My guess
distance,
is that they didn't. Don't they have to nominate guys? And my my guess is we nominated him just as defensive player and not as special.
I think it would have been cool if he won both.
He could have.
And then I laughed a little when the release that came out announcing that he'd won it. The first thing it says is he blocked a field goal and returned it 58 yards. That would have been the release had he won special teams player of the week.
You know, if J.J. Watt blocked the kick, he could be a three-way. He could be, now that he's a tight end, as well as defensive player.
And there's no doubt in my mind he could block a kick, certainly.
Right, right.
That's why he's the best player in the NFL.
That would be something.
Love him.
Yeah.
I really do. I love everything about him. The more I hear about him, I would be a little bit, I don't care really about Adrian Peterson. I don't really care about Ray Rice. It's bad what they did. J.J. Watt, to me, is feeling like a guy who just seems to get it, does everything.
Oh, yeah, it comes easy to him.
And quotes, and you know, he says, you know, like, stardom isn't something you own, and you rent it you lease it for a while or something.
Imagine if he turns out to be a fraud.
Exactly. That's going to hurt me. That'll hurt me. I'll be like Fred with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah. I know, but do you have any doubt?
Well, what do you mean by a fraud?
You know, he's on the program.
No.
Oh, I don't care about that. That's not fraud.
All right. Okay.
I'm not talking about that kind of fraud. I'm talking about
if he beats somebody.
When he goes home, he's beating somebody. That's what I'm talking about. He's not really a good guy.
I think he injects his steroids with a smile on his face and helping an old lady cross the street with a needle in his ass.
I don't have any false pretenses about NFL players and what they're doing in terms of making their bodies bigger and stronger.
I just hope when he does it, he takes a masking agent so he only misses two games or four.
Right. He's I would say, you know, in terms of players in the NFL, he's top five right now. You know,
top five in both in terms of talent, and if I'm an NFL marketing person, he's probably a guy I feel
you're seeing him now on more commercials.
Calvin Johnson and J.J. Watt would probably be two of the guys that I would market other than quarterbacks. Obviously, you have Brady and Manning and that kind of thing. But those two guys, to me, seem like, because knowing the history of Calvin Johnson, he created something and he went to Africa. He's been great since Georgia Tech. Matt Castle looks naked doing a press conference in front of just like two microphones.
Talking about the running game a little bit, we were talking about it yesterday, how the Patriots have four and, you know, White has been inactive for the first two games. And they had an interesting chart up on ESPN just before you guys came in. There's about a dozen starting running backs in the league right now that are questionable or doubtful for this Sunday.
Can I just – you seem to be fixated on this running back thing. They have five, not four. I mean, you count Devlin as a running back.
I don't.
But just like you used to count Heath Evans as a running back, and just like you used to count Patrick Pass as a running back.
But
they've never had
– If it got to the point where Devlin had to carry the ball on first down, we're in big trouble.
No. But you're missing my point. You're talking about all the times when they used to
have – Yes.
But you're talking about all the times when the Patriots used to have five, and we used to say, what are they going to do with them all?
And they always ended up using them.
One of those five was always a guy like Heath Evans or Patrick Pass, is what I'm telling you.
And he caught two passes the other day.
Anyway.
They used it.
That's my only point.
There's a lot of running backs banged up right now in the NFL.
Okay, so I'm missing the point.
That one of them aren't our player.
Shane Vereen's
banged
up.
You need a lot of running backs in the NFL.
Shane Vereen's
hurt. And you're stable.
Did you read the injury report?
What's his problem?
Bad, not back. I don't know. Shoulder.
I actually chuckled based on our conversation on the radio show yesterday. I have to admit.
I chuckled twice when I saw him on it and none of the people I thought were hurt on it. Although I guess Edelman's on it. So he was.
Yeah, Edelman got added to it.
What is he on it for?
Back.
Oof.
Remember when he got up and I thought he got kicked in the nuts? I think that might have been the back.
Oh. Wasn't that the first game?
No, that was
his thought he got kicked. I thought he dove over the guy in Miami. I thought that was the time I thought he got kicked in the
nuts. He dove over a guy in Miami.
This one, he did a face plant into the ground. It looked like
avoid.
He concussed himself.
Well, that was the first time I thought he was hurt. The next one I thought was down the right sideline.
This is what I go through, Fred. It really is.
No,
Brian
Morey. I really thought he was hurt.
He deems half the roster unavailable for the next 8 weeks.
Right. So I guess my point is that you need a good stable of running backs in the NFL if you're interested in running the ball, because they get hurt.
And they should run the ball, as I just taped for All Access.
Running backs definitely get hurt.
Well,
you're not going to get by.
I don't think there's any question that they should run the ball.
That's not
of course
what you
they
said.
Should.
You said they should throw the ball.
No, the question
so
was...
You're already telling me why you lost the argument.
The question was, should they become a run-first
team?
No, they should not.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Why?
You think they should be a run-first team?
Yep, right now they should. Their offensive line stinks. Their complementary weapons stink.
Because they're playing the Raiders this week.
Right. And they're playing the Raiders this week, but their offensive line stinks, and their complementary weapons
stink. It needs
you want
to
open some
on.
Things up? You know how you open it up? Play action passing game. John Hanna was right 10 years ago.
If you're telling me that the reason why they need to be a run-first team is because of talent, then the season's over. There's no hope.
What are you talking about?
Why is it better if your
offensive
line
stinks? They can't have a good balanced offense?
That's not what you just said. You
yes.
said run first.
Exactly. And Why throw is it, second.
If your offensive line
run
stinks,
to set up the throw. Play action passing helps you out immensely.
Yeah, you don't even believe that.
If your
no,
offensive,
I actually do.
Do you
if
really?
Your offensive line stinks, why is it better to run the ball?
Because they're stinking in pass protection.
But they're stinking and running
the ball,
too.
We don't know that for sure. Well, let's give them the opportunity.
Well, I'm just going off.
You got
I'm
Jimmy
just,
Devlin.
I can only
you
go,
got
Fred, with the
Fleming.
Information that Andy's providing me for the argument.
Yeah,
the information that you provided was the offensive line stinks.
Right, but
right. And Fred said they don't stink. They're getting it. But you said they stink. So why do you want to run the ball?
Well, I don't know that they've
to set up third
stunk.
And ten.
They have not been dominant
so
in the
why
run
are you
game.
Saying
if
that,
you run the ball with a bad offensive line, you're setting up third and tens.
Right,
right.
Now what?
Now
if,
you're
if you throw the ball with a bad offensive line, you're setting up Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah,
get the ball real quick like you did last week.
Sooner or later.
If it's that bad, but I don't think it's that bad.
It was that bad in Miami.
It was. It was
putrid.
Terrible in my
putrid.
Opinion. Terrible.
Well, that's because they threw the ball 60 times. Yeah. It's a little bit of a fine line there. I mean, yeah. Most of the sacks came very late
right.
in the game,
and the
right?
offense looked much better when they ran first and threw later. You're right. Thank you.
I didn't think it looked very good at all.
Much better.
To use your line again, I was going to give him kid gloves in this because I know sometimes we have to
see,
argue
Paul
this stuff.
Paul is like the, oh, we got to get back to 2007 and win every game 38-3.
No,
and we're
not,
killing
that's not
people.
That's what I'm saying. But you
this
have
team
been
won
very
a lot
critical.
Of games by running the football, playing defense, and not scoring a lot of points.
When it had a lot of talent to do that. They don't,
well,
I don't
some
think
of us still
set up
think they
that.
Have some talent. We're
I don't
not negative
think they're set
like
up
you
to
are.
Win like that.
We're not negative like you are. I
do
actually
think they're set up to win like that because you're the one that told me all about
how Stephen
Ridley was averaging less than 3 yards a carry.
I think the defense. And there were plenty of games when other
right?
running backs named Antoine Smith averaged
less than three yards a carry? I don't think so.
Wait, he didn't finish the game less than three. There were plenty of games when
Stephen
Antoine
Ridley
Smith
finished
would do
the
that.
First game less than three.
Yes.
So when they were running the ball well early in the game and they were having good offense,
no.
they weren't running the ball well.
They didn't establish the run in Miami. They never tried
but
to establish
But you said
the run.
Early in the game.
This
when
week.
Did you just say that?
This week.
Yes,
see, you don't listen.
That's
and
you
don't listen
said.
At all.
Just
so
said.
Don't even take him as your mouthpiece for who's
see,
listening.
See, I can yell here.
Fred
I
hasn't.
Yell on my other stuff.
Right. That's why you'd be better instead. You,
with sunshine.
Well,
I don't know the song, so I couldn't really say.
This is great that you
are
just,
my sunshine.
You
is that
say
what you're
that.
To say?
No, it's sunshine
no.
day.
Early in the Minnesota game, they tried to establish the run. And I think the offense benefited generally from it.
In the
you,
first
you
drive,
in
they
the,
did. And they were 3 and out.
In the first half, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they did anything offensively very well.
They threw more in the first half than they did the second half, didn't they?
Well, they didn't have to do anything in the second half.
Exactly.
They were running out of
so
victory.
So you can't look
they
at
were
running
about,
in the
second half. They were actually about even.
Wait, do you not think they tried to establish the run in Minnesota?
No question.
They did.
Because if you don't, then we can't have a discussion.
It wasn't doing
right.
very
blind.
Well. It didn't
but
do
I don't
well.
Think it was.
I thought it was fine. It doesn't always flash.
But you really didn't think it was fine.
I
That's
thought
my
it was
point.
Fine.
That's why I'm
you
trying to call you
do not bring off-air conversations on the air.
Oh, see, now you're
this,
not being honest.
This, oh, my
but
God.
Wait a minute.
You're
this
not
is
even
not,
being honest.
But this is not an
no,
off-air conversation.
But
you
I am
this,
being
you
honest.
You talked about this on Tuesday.
First,
I think they should
in the
run.
The first half, Ridley had what, like?
29 yards on 11 attempts.
Right, exactly.
And that's exactly what he said on Tuesday.
He started building up his yards per carry when Minnesota
That's the way it works. They wear down offense.
No, that doesn't have to be the way it works.
I didn't say it had to be, but that works.
Games.
My point was
he
the same
quarter,
as my point
a quarter
was
of his
originally.
Yards, I think, came on his last two carries.
Right.
Do you not believe Antoine Smith had those types of games for this team? Where it wasn't really working, he wore him down, he'd have a nice run,
you're
and boom,
about
all of a sudden
13
he's got,
years
but wait a
ago.
Back when they used to win that way. Remember when they won Super Bowls? I know you're getting old and don't have the memory
Look,
you once did.
Hey, Jim Brown had 6 yards to carry. So what does that mean? Nothing. Let's talk
yes,
about today.
Yes, it really means nothing. I don't know what you're talking
Let's
about.
Let's talk about today.
I'm with
it's
Fred,
irrelevant.
Though.
It's irrelevant.
I'm fighting two idiots.
Now he has to be a name caller.
Well, you just
well,
brought
that's
up.
That's what happened.
I know, he just
it made no sense. Jim Brown had 6 yards a carry. What does that mean?
It makes no sense to bring up Antoine Smith.
So Jim Brown played for the Patriots under the same coach and the same quarterback that won Super Bowls.
In this
yeah,
discussion,
that
it's
very,
equally,
very similar.
It's no.
You have turned
irrelevant.
Into me.
It's,
you have turned into me making okay. a ridiculous right. argument that is in
oh
no way
God.
Connected to the current
it's
debate.
It's equally irrelevant.
Right, You're irrelevant.
Can we get a practice update?
Sure. Eric's here.
Nothing to see here. Everybody was there.
Tim Wright was re-signed.
No, wait. No, hold on. What was the result of yesterday's
Eric's blind.
The result was I didn't see Tim Wright. He was there.
Oh.
He was there.
For the first time ever, Eric was wrong.
I was wrong.
I'm going to I want to give a little background on this.
He can't see past the end of his own nose, which is understandable.
2 o'clock, the end of the show comes.
He just, I know. It's just blatant unfair.
This is funny, though.
The end of the show comes,
he
2 o'clock.
In the locker room.
Right?
The first guy you saw.
Ian and I leave the studio, and there's one guy. There's one player. Literally, there's 63 players now,
63
right?
63 players, yeah.
There's 63 players. There is one guy walking through the tunnel back to the locker room.
25 feet from us.
Yeah. Right in front of us. And I'm looking, and I'm like, it was a dark shirt.
Yeah.
And I saw the one. So it's either 81 or 91. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, maybe that's Collins. But then I'm looking at the shirt, and I'm like, either he's really sweating a lot and that blue shirt's really wet, or that's a black shirt. And I'm looking, and I'm like,
it's an awful lot of an ape.
It
that's
was.
Tim Wright.
It was.
And I look at Andy, and I start gesturing wild. I'm like, that's Tim Wright. One guy. There was one guy.
I missed him.
In the tunnel. And so I immediately had to go up to Eric in the locker room and go,
It happens.
And he goes, I know, I saw him.
It happens once in a while.
So Tim Wright was there.
Tim Wright's still all right.
Gerard Mayo back.
Yep.
From his
having a baby.
Fatherhood.
Yep.
Well, he didn't actually.
No, but, you know, he's a father.
Chantel.
Again, right?
Yes.
And biggest practice longest injury report of the year, but all the guys on there were out of practice, which is, I guess, good news.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman added with a back injury yesterday, limited in practice. Mm-hmm. Dan Connolly had a knee, limited in practice. Shane Vereen, a shoulder, limited in practice.
The Dan Connolly one's interesting.
Actually, Alfonso Dennett also added
shoulder.
We should mention.
Well, that's why the injury report's long, because we now, you know, put guys on it who are injured.
Yeah.
The Conley one, though, everybody said, oh, they got Stork some reps. Well, did they get Stork's reps because Conley was hurt? Like, did Conley leave the game in Minnesota because he was hurt, or because they wanted to get Stork in the game?
Well, right? And that's funny that you say that, because my initial thought, I was thinking yesterday about, you know, the whole, why do they never take Brady out of the blowouts thing that's coming up now? And I had, not surprisingly, I had Mike Giardi, you know, trumpeting the cause for Garoppolo, and he says, you watch, he's going to start getting some mop-up, and they're going to say, why didn't they ever do that before? And I'm like, what are you talking about? They never do it before. They've done that before. They didn't do it last year because they were all close games.
Right.
But I don't think they do it early enough in blowouts, but Brian Hoyer is mopped up. Right. Ryan Mallett mopped up.
Not
Matt
often
Castle,
enough, though.
Matt Castle mopped up.
And then they took him out.
To the extent that he threw a pick six and had to get yanked.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't tell me they never take Brady out.
Right.
I was thinking maybe they didn't take him out on Sunday. Everybody was saying because the offense didn't play well, but maybe because they wanted to put Stork in with Brady.
Oh, they wanted to hand to
butt. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think
there's
any
feel for his anus.
But that's a good point. I didn't really think of that with Conley.
What is wrong with you today?
Today.
Well, it's a good point. Sorry.
We don't have time for that.
Yeah. You're right.
But I thought that maybe it was a possible, you know, get
or maybe
Brady
they tried to put Garoppolo in. Brady said no because I haven't updated my resume.
My resume says starting quarterback.
Right.
But I wondered if maybe they wanted to get him some time with Stork.
Hey.
Because they're moving toward that.
He
probably hasn't had any reps with Brady.
Not since he crapped himself
anyway,
when Brady yelled at him.
That was a long time ago.
Well, yeah, but that might have been the last rep.
Yep. Brady's like, oh, I'm not going near that. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. The Raiders are coming to town. We really haven't talked much about the Raiders.
The Raiders.
By the way, the new guy yesterday was Daxton Swanson.
I got to talk to him.
They re-sign him, right?
Yeah. Immediately, people are tweeting me. Now you can fight him in the locker room instead of on Twitter.
I actually chuckled at that,
too,
when I saw
Daxton Swanson.
Yeah, he was fighting him on Twitter. Yeah.
Why?
Because he was mad about a spearing call on Sunday Night Football.
San Francisco guy. Dial, I think. Forget.
So you started fighting him?
Yeah, I said it's called spearing. He said, how are you supposed to hit the
quarterback?
You know
how you never respond?
I responded, not with your head. And then he said, and I said, that's spearing. And we went back and forth a couple times.
How do you make that sound on Twitter?
It's hard.
There's no emoticon that does that?
No, I don't do those. I don't really know how to do those.
He's above the emoticon.
No, I don't really know how to do them.
He's not above bickering with the players.
Right. Is there any?
He wasn't a player at the time.
Is there any element?
Yeah, like you wouldn't have done it tomorrow.
Is there any element of the Oakland Raiders that could turn into a win for them, that they could exploit that would result in a win? on Sunday.
Resulting in a win?
Turnovers. Who's exploiting
the,
who?
The Patriots.
How did the Raiders win?
Yeah.
Turnovers.
Turnovers based off of, I think they have some athletic guys up front that if they can rekindle their lost glory or peak in Khalil Mack, you got the young and the old. They got some guys up front.
That would be
that
turnovers.
Can come get,
I would think right. That would be how you could create
or
turnovers.
Or just knock Brady out of the game.
I don't think they can win the game.
That's a good way.
In terms of athletically, some things that they could do, some things that haven't been as good defensively for the Patriots, tight ends, that middle of the field is still sort of a problem. Michael Rivera is a pretty athletic tight end. Marcel Reese is a pretty athletic fullback who can get out and make some plays and get downfield.
You know,
that area
Rivera,
in the middle.
But can Derek Carr take advantage of that?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt it. I doubt if he's able to do it.
Numbers are better than Brady's at this point.
I was just going to say that.
Wow. That Michael Rivera guy, that's the guy from Tennessee whose sister is the hot chick from Glee.
Yeah, the one that had the she was all the attention when he got the touchdown last year.
Yeah,
remember?
She plays a lesbian on the show and everything.
Yeah, I don't watch Glee, but
I don't really either, but Deidre does.
So yeah. That would be an area that they could do well, and it might exploit an area that you've kind of struggled in. I started the whole thing. I don't think the Raiders can win. I mean, the only way they could win is if they're like plus five in the turnovers or something like that.
Right.
I don't see it.
Big plays all around is the only way they win.
James Jones is a guy that has ability. He's got a couple of touchdowns. But I just look at Revis probably going to be taking him out of the game.
If you're Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, what's your game plan going in offensively for this
run,
game?
Run, baby, run.
Yeah. Really?
They've given up 400 yards on the ground.
Rush defense by far in the NFL.
And you are just had a nice game running the ball. Do it again.
Do it.
Yeah.
Start that way, and
only get yards this time.
Set up the pass.
Sorry, it's Thursday. It's not Tuesday. So evidently we've changed our views.
I didn't change my views.
Yes,
I want to keep running. I didn't say it was great, but I think it's a great plan.
Does Tompkins get active, and who sits if he does?
I would say no, because if you're going to run, LaFell's going to be your blocking receiver. They're not ready to sit Amendola, right? You're not going to pull the plug on that yet, are you?
I'm not.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. I think that they might have Amendola active because who would replace Edelman
in case
Edelman goes down? And especially with Edelman on the injury report.
Right. Good point.
Wow. Yeah.
Good point.
I like it better when I get the good points from Andy, but he's mad at me.
I just think they're not ready to pull the plug on that. I mean, that becomes a story. If you have a healthy scratch for your $30 million receiver.
No, but I actually think
game,
they need him, don't you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't think that's the number one. All right, I'm going to really send him off into orbit.
He's just
now.
Being.
I'm
going to
send him off into orbit right
noticed,
now.
Fred, I don't know why.
I'm going to tell you right now. If Julian Edelman went down Sunday for the season, Danny Amendola would catch 85 passes. I have no doubt about it. That's the number one target in this offense, and I think you'd plug him in, and he would catch the passes.
But he doesn't get open. Everybody says.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't get open alongside Edelman. Just like Edelman didn't really do a whole lot when he was alongside Welker. All the passes went to Welker.
That's a good point.
All right.
Edelman could do it. Whenever Welker was out of the lineup, Edelman
did it.
Would get 8 for 98, and everybody would say, yeah, it's not quite the same. Welker's more, and I would agree.
Well, he struggled for a while when they would just sort of put him in, and he would drop a ball.
He couldn't make the one catch. He had to do that
against the Jets. He had, like, 9 catches, but there were, like, 17
targets. I'm not even talking about that. There were times where he was
8 for 98 with 16 targets.
There were times where he would come in the third quarter, because that's kind of a big one.
I mean, I have this, like, vague recollection of a lot of targets.
Thank you for not taking
that's
a shot.
That's kind
of
a big one. Yeah. And especially if you're arguing that guys are, irrelevant or whatever, the role. Right.
Especially
it.
If you're like me.
But
did you really remember that, Paul, or did you look that up?
No, I really remembered it because it.
I can't make that point that Welker's no good.
Exactly. I don't remember anything.
I remembered it because it suited my argument.
Right.
That's why I remember.
But I also remember it just because it was a major talking point type thing.
No, but I mean, he remembered the actual specifics of.
Yeah,
that day.
I kind of did too.
See, I remember
really?
It to
Which
make
I don't
my
remember
point
anything.
That Welker was good because it took so many more targets to get the same amount of catches. Welker usually has two missed.
Well, but you're showing that now. It doesn't take all it took was a little practice, and you got Edelman. Doesn't take him 16 to get 8.
I also think Edelman's a pretty gifted athlete. I mean, look at him out there.
He is. Did anybody ever argue he wasn't a gifted athlete?
I'm not saying
athlete?
He's not a gifted athlete.
Well, maybe him.
Exactly.
That's not true.
That's not fair.
I never said that either one of those two guys aren't gifted athletes. I just said that they're not number one
just
receivers.
Just change.
They're not centerpiece offense guys. And I'm sorry, I still believe that. I know you guys make fun of me. That's okay. We don't all have to agree. I don't think they're centerpiece of the offense kind of guys. Welker now is where he's supposed to be. He's the third or fourth option in Denver.
But it depends what you mean as centerpiece of the offense.
They're not I don't Calvin want everything Johnson. Going
they're
to
not,
him.
You know.
See, I think you can have everything going to him, and that's part of your offense, as long as Calvin Johnson or Rob Gronkowski is catching his six, including two touchdowns. I just think it depends how you say
well, in Paul's defense, I don't think – I can't remember – well, Welker definitely, you know, extended drives and critical drives mm-hmm. and critical times, and without that, you may not want – You may not have won some games you won, but I can't remember him, you know, being like the guy that catches that big touchdown at the end of the game. I think that's what you're thinking of, right? Those guys that are just freaking game breakers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean yeah. you're doesn't necessarily mean the centerpiece
like you think
of the offense.
Josh Gordon is a better player than Wes Welker,
well,
right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because he can do things that just change
Everybody.
A game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think like, that's a controversial one for Welker me. I know I say to, a lot of stupid things. Well, I don't think that's
Welker
one of them.
Welker has to do it in, you know, he has to... You know, death by a thousand knives
paper
instead
cuts.
Of, you know, the, yeah. But he can, you know, that, there's yeah, something but, to that too, though, Paul. I think you have to give him credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I don't take the credit away. I just think that it's something that a lot of other guys.
You call them loose change.
I think it's something a lot of other guys can do. I don't think he's special. That's all.
Yeah.
You guys do. Again, that's fine. We can disagree.
Well, I agree with you. I think there's more people on earth that can do what Welker does than Calvin Johnson. Absolutely. Because Calvin Johnson has to do with, just his physical.
I'm not sure I agree with that either.
Really?
It's different. Wait, but are you talking about the physical or? Well, I guess they're both physical. I mean, to me, what Wes Welker did over a span to take the beating, stay on the field, do it every week, make the catches, to me, I don't think there are a lot of people that
yeah,
have done
you know,
it.
You might be right. I mean, they're different.
There's guys
that
do
they
it
do.
In flashes.
Yeah,
there's,
yeah.
But can you do it
right.
with the longevity?
Yeah, I think the durability right. has to come into play.
Like, I don't think a lot
Calvin
of teams
Johnson
ask that
Welker
guy
size,
to do that,
could Calvin Johnson have done what Welker
right,
did?
Right, right. And, you know, Calvin Johnson can't do what Welker does. He's
yeah.
just too big.
Too big to do it, right.
And Welker can't do what Calvin Johnson does because he's too small.
Right.
So they have to play different games, and they're at the top of the game that they play.
Right. Now, you can get into the question of value. Is the top of the outside game more important than the top of the inside
right.
game and all that?
Right.
But I think you put it well. They're at the top of the game or the role they fill.
Yep.
Now, I don't think that makes him the best receiver in football like Michael Irvin did.
Right.
I think that was stupid. But.
Yeah.
He's still good.
That's fine.
He's the best.
I just think a lot of guys could do that. That's all.
But they don't.
Because no teams do that. No teams just say, I'm going to have my slot guy is going to be the guy I'm going to throw the ball to 75% of the time.
Pretty much every team has a slot receiver.
But not a guy they feature like the Patriots feature the spot. The Patriots are unique, in my opinion,
but
in that regard.
But did they not feature that because he was Wes Welker? Because
well,
they could?
Because he's Julian Edelman? Because they wanted to give Danny Amendola $31 million? Because that's what they feature.
Well,
they want to find a guy that they can plug into that spot.
All right.
That's... I mean, listen, I don't have all the answers. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mark's in Connecticut. Hey, Mark. Mark.
Hey, Fred. How you doing? Sorry, I had to take it off the mute.
That's okay.
I don't usually get to listen to the show live, so it's good to be able to call in. Hey, about the Adrian Peterson thing, I worked with a lady and her husband were going up to the Minnesota game this past weekend, and I remember when they came back, I remember I was emailing her, and telling you, I was sad that, you know, they went all the way up there and their star player, I mean, they had their shirts on and everything. You know, they didn't get to see him on the field.
She wasn't the one walking around with the switch, was she?
No, okay, no, not at all. But
good thing
I
there was not a handsome woman.
You know, said, at least on the bottom line, your player's out of the game, but he's not a murderer, and this whole thing's going to blow over. And, you know, and she, you know, she agreed, you know, because that's, you know, kind of what our situation was here. But then their owner reinstates him right away on Monday. Radisson pulls their sponsorship of the team, and then boom, he switches gears. They don't look like they're supporting anything at all that's moral. They don't look like they're doing the decisions on their team because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
They look like they're just reacting just based on dollars.
Right,
and
I agree.
The day after all that, they look very, very weak as a team.
Yeah,
and it made me really appreciate what it means to be a Patriots fan. and how great the Crafts have been with their leadership of the team.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to get in.
Was exactly reversed.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the whole we're better than, you know, because it's a dangerous game to play. But you mentioned, you had a phrase that you used early on, which I think teams have to get away from, and really all corporations have to get away from when they hit these PR things, and it's blow over. No longer, I think, will advertisers in the public allow teams to wait for things to blow over anymore. Because I think that the new mindset may be that it's not going away until you do something about it. And, you know, the league has to look at these things and think about how do we prevent it? What do we do when it happens? And what do we do after it happens? And no more waiting for it to blow over. I just don't think teams
it needs
can
to
do
be.
That.
It needs to be taken out of the team's hands, and it needs to be done by the league. It needs to be an automatic thing.
Well, I
you
agree
get arrested,
with
and I think, and you sit and until think, we figure out
I,
what happens.
And I think every owner would agree with you, Paul, because they don't trust each other.
No,
they don't
and
trust.
Too, but there's
them
too much
to self-regulate
stake.
Each
and
other.
And I can understand right. how difficult that is. I'm in the middle of the season. Okay, I have a game on Sunday. Something happened on Friday. That's not an easy thing to do.
No,
I need him.
Right.
And it's only in 2 days.
Right.
Can I get him to play? I get that. That's not an easy thing to do.
It isn't.
It's easy to
and
sit back from your ivory tower and say, all these guys should sit out.
Was there. I mean, my point was, if Kraft was running the show there, they wouldn't have rushed right away to reinstate the player on Monday morning. They would have taken that time to make sure they had everything right and assess the situation.
But how do you know?
Game
yeah.
time's not till Sunday. You got 6 or 7 days to make a decision, even if you want to get him in that game. And here they are. 2 days later, having to completely reverse around what they wanted to do, and like I said, they end up looking very, very weak on it. If they wanted to sit there and say, you know, hey, we're going to wait until, you know, the courts proceed and see where things go from there, I wouldn't personally have agreed with it, but at least they would have been consistent about things, you know, just switching based on the sponsorship loss. That's where you start losing.
Yeah, knowing the NFL, knowing the NFL and the way these teams are, that could have happened to any team, and I don't know if any team would have done it any better.
I
honestly,
agree. I just don't know how you know.
I don't know. You would hope that the Patriots would, but I don't know.
I mean, I'll give the Patriots credit for Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Okay. They acted quickly and decisively.
The moment he was arrested, that was
murder.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's a little different. You know, I don't think this compares at all to any of these other situations.
It was different. Clearly, it was different. But what they did do is they knew the situation was going on, and I'm sure they met behind closed doors and said, "If this is what happens, here's what we're going to do." And if this is what happens,
right? And you don't think Minnesota did that?
And if the Minnesota doesn't come across looking like they did that, they look like they got caught by surprise when they lost. A sponsor because of the
I agree that Minnesota looked bad. I don't agree that every other team would have handled it any differently.
And remember, Mark, you know, this was Adrian Peterson. The equivalent to Adrian Peterson on the Patriots is Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Imagine if this happened to him. You know, I think there would be a little bit of hesitation as to what do we do now. You know?
Patriots Nation would be frantic.
Yeah, it would be, what the hell do we do? And you know, there would be the same amount of people, like in Minnesota, supporting Tom Brady until the evidence comes out and due process and all that.
Tons of
as
that.
There wasn't with
just
Adrian
like everywhere
Peterson.
Else.
You know, I think Albert Breer had a good tweet. He said, you know, it's really interesting for my inbox how it comes down to it's my team or it isn't my team. It's very easy when it's not your team to just say he needs to be gone. And then he gets the emails from Minnesota Vikings fans and it's not so clear. And it would not be so clear if it was Tom Brady. It should be. It should be, but it just wouldn't be.
No, that's a very fair statement. But there's lots of good stuff going on, too. We got opening day coming around, and I plan on being in the crowd on Sunday. It's actually my 26th wedding anniversary yesterday, so I'm
nice. Congratulations.
Going up to the game to celebrate that.
Yeah. Will you be making noise?
We'll absolutely be all making right. noise. How can you not make noise at a football game?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's the question I ask all the
people,
time.
68,000 people manage to do it every week.
Don't get me going.
I'm actually going to get to go to the game the week after, too, in Kansas City. Right. I'm working Iowa on business, so instead of flying out for the 1 week, I'm flying out for the 2 weeks so I can stay over the weekend, and I'm going
nice.
To drive down and catch that one.
Get some good barbecue.
Exactly. Yep. Maybe hit some blues clubs downtown on Saturday night.
Love it. Great.
All right, Mark.
Keep up the good work, guys. Enjoy the program.
Okay, Mark. Mark in Connecticut. Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey, speaking of barbecue.
Hey, oh, yeah, man, we got the best in the world, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
I've got one question, and I have two quick comments. Man, what the hell is wrong with Eldon? He's out? He's on the injury?
He's not out. He's got
limited.
A little back injury going.
Yeah. He'll be out there.
He was out there today for practice.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well.
What do you think? He's the only guy who catches passes? Oh, wait, he's the only guy who catches passes.
Hey, I'm not going to touch that subject, guys. I think we went on that one long enough this week. It's time to move on.
That's right.
The HGH testing, man, I think that's going to be huge. And I think it's going to affect a lot of ball clubs. For one, I think that's the main source for a lot of guys. Speedy recovery, man. Instead of coming back in a year, they're back in 4 to 5 months, 6, 7 months. I think that's going to play a major key, man, into a lot of guys not returning
it could
as
be.
Fast as we've been seeing.
I mean, listen, when the Major League Baseball cracked down on what they were doing, you saw the effects at the plate. There was just no doubt that guys were being a little bit more careful, and whatever they were doing, it wasn't as effective as what was happening before. Will the same thing happen in other sports with HGH? I don't know. We'll see, but I'll never forget that 60 Minutes piece with that doctor from Hawaii who said, I swear by HGH. It is a miracle drug. I take it myself, and I would recommend it to anyone. And it was on 60 Minutes. I'll never forget that.
Which is why they don't really care if they catch him.
Yeah,
because no parents are complaining that their kid killed himself because he had HGH. It's a totally different drug and topic and debate and moral dilemma than baseball and the roided up Giambis of the world. It's a totally even though it's a drug topic, it's just so different.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Trey.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Trey.
Okay. Sorry.
Has the FDA done testing on HGH?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, they must have done some because it's a prescribed drug. So even prescribed drugs
have
been tested.
Yeah, so they have to be.
But I don't know about long-term unprescribed or unmonitored use or what they've done in that area.
They should just ask NFL players. Like the Hawaiian doctor that you're talking about, if he's swearing by it, it's a miracle drug.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that more people.
Well, this is like 3 years ago.
And he might have got his medical degree in like Costa Rica.
He might be a very reputable doctor. I think you could find doctors that would swear by all kinds of drugs that other people would say aren't.
Well, it's why players go to Germany or somewhere else, and you know, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I'll be stunned if there's this whole slew of people failing HGH tests. And just doesn't. I mean, like you said, some people believe it's positive, and there certainly isn't the negative backlash of anabolic steroids that were part of the issue, part of the debate with Congress and everything in baseball. I think most people probably say HGH is pretty safe. It helps them do their job. My God, look at their job. They have to kill themselves to do their job. Give them this.
Yeah.
And is it just for recovery?
No.
The growth part is actually growth.
It's not an anabolic steroid. You're not going to put on tons of muscle. It's not like that.
But it's a youth drug. They call it a youth drug.
Yeah, that's part of
it. It makes you feel more vital and younger. And
if you're injured, it helps you recover.
Yeah, as you like to say about me, Paul, he knows a little too much about this. Looks like he's been researching.
No,
well, he's been infatuated with this doctor for as long as I can remember. I've heard this more often than I say that Welker's loose change. I've heard this.
Maybe we should look into FedEx deliveries to the Kirsch household and see what's coming up.
Trust me. Look at me. Am I taking HGH?
Well, I don't know. What does it affect?
Right. I'm walking around on crutches for crying out loud.
Your shoulders didn't always be like that.
All right. Let's go back to the phones.
And yes, I just said, your shoulders didn't always be like that.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Guys, what's up? How you doing?
Good.
Before I get rolling, I just want to apologize for my B-Lo impression last call.
That, by the way, was a classic.
It was the call that never ends.
I didn't even mind the call. I got such a laugh out of the B-Lo reference. That was classic.
Unreal. Sometimes I got to rein it in. I'm going to try to keep this a little shorter and sweeter. But I just want to say real quick, thanks to Brad and Maine for the friendly compliment and shout-out yesterday. Much appreciated. Always try to bring it. Want to try to bring the lens back to the Raiders here. And, you know, this game I'm looking just to get a win and walk away healthy and just see some market improvement. You know, it seems like we're all looking past this one, but, you know, I'm worried that we're going to lose, you know, somebody to an injury. And, you know, you guys talked about the game plan being run-focused. I totally agree with that point. I think we've got to feed them 20 to 25 times. Let's keep this rolling. Hopefully we can hold on to that ball. But we got to keep 12 clean. On defense, I'm expecting an encore here. I mean, I just want to see Carr get destroyed. I want the defense to just dominate this game. And I'd feel a heck of a lot better. With that said, I'd like to see more of Amendola and Tim Wright this week. I think this is a really good opportunity to get these guys involved and, you know, get this Edelman conversation away for now. I mean, just to piggyback, John in South Carolina is absolutely right, man. I mean, he's the guy that's getting open more often than not. I feel like that's why Edelman, rather, is getting the ball. But I think we win this game because of time of possession and sound defense. I'm thinking of the tune of 27-10. But this should be hopefully a good momentum going into Kansas City on Monday night the following week. And you guys have a good one. Go Pats.
All right. Thanks, Chester. 27-10, he says.
I think I'd be disappointed with that score.
Me too. More than that. I was going to say.
I mean, I'm not predicting much dip, but I would be disappointed with only 27 points.
What if they execute Andy's game plan and just
what if
run
Ridley
the ball?
Runs for 220?
And, you know, well, I would hope they would score 9 more than that. Drives. And,
yeah, because you know Ridley's not going to hit big plays, so even if he hits 220, it's going to take a lot of 10-yard runs to get there.
Some more of that vigorous defense.
Quick side note, I'm going to open myself up to mocking from you two clowns. Finally got the numbers back from the geniuses at the league. Only 165 high schools have multiple NFL players right now. So Dartmouth is a rarity.
I mean, how many? 165?
We're going to have to get back to Aaron. How many in New England? Most of them are in Florida, California, right. Texas.
Yep.
Still a good feat.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Right.
All right.
How many Massachusetts high school? Let me pare it down.
California.
How many southeastern Massachusetts?
On the South Coast.
South Coast high schools.
Let's go to Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah?
Hey, you honored me with your presence today on the radio.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, I got a quick statement and then two quick questions. I was hoping you guys could settle a little debate between me and my friend. I've always been a defender of the Patriots' offense, but he's saying that now it's our offense that's holding us back. One thing that he's pointing to is a Boston Globe article called, you know, Why is the Patriots' offense so dominant? And they're talking a little bit about the side option plays. And they have a former Patriots player on there, and he pretty much says that, you know, you got to look at what the defender is doing, and your option, your route could change two or three times after the ball is hiked, depending on which way the other opposing defense is going. So the first question is, do you think right now one impairment to our offense is the players and the side options, and do you think it'd be better to pull back on it if they're not able to get it?
I don't think you can. It's been the offense for 15 years. I don't know that you can change your offense. You may have screwed up in the guys you brought in thinking they could handle the site adjustments and the various things that come with this offense, but, I mean, are you really going to bag a 15-year system or philosophy or style because a couple guys can't get it? I just don't think you can do that.
We'll get to the street huddle where, you know, you do a 10-yard down and in, you do a 5-yard down and out.
And Garoppolo can do that because he didn't have a playbook.
Right.
Well, that's what I was kind of telling him is that's been our offense, and his point is that what he's telling me is that, well, if we don't got guys that can do it, and these are the guys on the roster, then we're just not going to have an offense. But real quick, I'll let you go. I have a second question, and this is another point where I kind of was sticking up for Belichick, and he disagreed. He's like, well, we can't get elite people because if you look at two top 10 receivers, the Patriots could have gotten if we wanted. We could have gotten Demaryius Thomas, and we could have gotten Dez Bryant. And he said neither of those receivers would have been able to do the side option offense. So I'll let you guys handle that, and I'll let you guys go. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, I don't know that to be the case for either of those guys. Now, I did assume it a little bit on Thomas because I thought coming from a wishbone offense that he was just going to be one of those where he could run the short stuff and go deep, run the short. I think he has evolved into a much more polished, productive receiver than I thought he was going to be. But you can't, that's not fair to
say. What a nice world it must be to just say all the other good players around the league, they wouldn't have been able to do it in New England because they're not smart enough. How do I know?
I'm assuming there are slight adjustments in the Denver offense.
I would assume with Peyton Manning. No, I don't think there are in every offense, but certainly with Peyton Manning.
I'm not disputing. It might be much more difficult for a receiver to do it here. I don't know, but I can't make the assumption that no one else can do it.
Right. And enough guys have said it's not that much more difficult than other ones they've been in that we should believe them.
Right.
Just because some guys struggled. Right. And by the way, some of those guys were entrenched in their ways. Like Ocho Cinco is the perfect guy. He ran a number-based system in Cincinnati where it was relatively simplistic, and he couldn't adjust after, I don't know, however he was there, 10 years, whatever, something like that.
Galloway?
Well, I would also have the same concerns about Tom Brady, unprogramming him, deprogramming him. If we're suddenly just going to run simple stuff, and if he's thinking sort of old school, and that might hinder his play. Why would you scrap what you believe and you trust for Danny Amendola?
They'll be fine. All right, let's take a break. Food's here. A lot more phone calls and emails coming up, and then we have to do picks at the end of the show.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hung?
Are you hungry?
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, Jason from Winnipeg writes in, no question, just a comment. I absolutely love it when you all get so passionate about your opinions. That whole segment on whether the Patriots should be a run-first team was epic. And... Devin from San Francisco writes in, on the topic of HGH, I wanted to provide some insight. I work for the company that created and makes HGH, and it really is an incredible medication. It was developed to help children with birth defects grow and has very little side effects. It's been around since 1985. You can't imagine how inspiring it is to see kids who are physically disabled grow into amazing young adults. I believe it has gotten a bad rep because of sports, but really, it's an amazing medication. So another proof that no matter what the topic is, we have experts out there listening.
Seriously. I mean, it works for the company that makes it?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one company that makes it?
Well, he said that that started it.
Yeah. Well, the human body started it, right? God.
Well, okay.
Lyle Alzado used to get his out of a body, and that's why Lyle Alzado's dead.
I know it might
dead.
Sound like a silly question, but where do they get it from? What's the active ingredient?
Your growth hormone.
I mean,
I don't know.
But
they're synthesizing
where do they get that from? Do they take their own?
Now they're synthesizing it. It's fake. It's a pharmaceutical, but they used to take it from cadavers.
That was where I was going with that. Like,
if they needed it bad enough, they made a cadaver.
Really?
No, I'm just making that up.
Dr. Frankenstein.
But I wonder what the synthetic elements are that are.
Well, I don't think they're going to tell you. If they're the company,
I'm just
that
curious.
Makes it.
Oh, I know.
I'm just surprised.
They get them from animals, Eric. So that's not going to be good for a nutmeg.
No, it's not.
No.
Then it wouldn't be called human growth hormone.
I'm only kidding.
The animal growth hormone.
Eric from San...
Which, if you think about it, wouldn't you rather have, like, grizzly bear growth hormone? GB?
Nature didn't intend for that to be the case.
I don't care.
That's a great idea. He hibernates during the winter.
Oh, boy.
He's pretty hairy, too.
Eric from San Gabriel, California.
I accidentally turned it back on before I burped.
Will Tom Brady finally have a good week against the Raiders? Yes or no?
Yes. Against old friend.
Well, you believe they're going to run the ball 9 out of 10 times.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. Proving that you don't listen. You accuse me of not listening, fat mouth or whatever you call me, but you did the same thing. You don't listen.
John's on the Ace Ticket Hotline in Bourne. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, guys, and good morning.
Good morning.
I'm laughing a little, you know, instead of human growth hormone, grizzly bear hormone.
Wouldn't that be better? Or like orangutan hormone or something? Those things are, ant hormone.
It's not like
ants are the strongest per.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the Hulk. You take it and you turn into whatever it is, you know.
No, but it might help.
Like Spider-Man, it worked for him.
Humans are not the strongest animal. And look at it, we're using switches to defend ourselves.
Right.
Well, that just means we're not the smartest animals.
Oh, true. But
But I wanted to call, you know, after the first game, you know, I have to admit I was, you know, angry they lost, but, you know, I still think they're going to, you know, the offense is going to figure itself out and the defense is going to, you know, ain't going to be top five, but, you know, they'll be there at the end. But the only thing I really worry about is the, like, the nastiness they don't have on the running game anymore. And, you know, you talk about, you know, well, it's a passing league in the regular season, but once you get to the postseason, you got to be able to run the ball. And it's really just the running game is the only thing I worry about. And I'm wondering how we will fix that, whether it's a, you know, someone who's already here or someone we can pick up, and or is it just a fundamental thing? And wanted to get your comments on that.
Well, they rushed for 150 yards last week, and you had a 100-yard rusher, and that's something you build, I think. I think it's like anything else. The timing in the passing attack, the power running attack, I think you build on it as the season goes on. He did remind me, though, you know, that's sort of a Logan Mankins question, the edge in the running game, the toughness. There was a thing on Good Morning America. One of those shows today was talking about officials, and it was they were trying to emphasize that they have to control the field. And the first, you know, and it, something about like behemoths on the gridiron. And guess who the video is they showed? Logan Mankins and like Haloti Ngata fighting or something, shoving each other. And that's how much of an image of toughness he is, even for general stories.
I don't think it's a coincidence that in the game where they kept basically their offensive line intact, they did a much better job rushing the football.
Well, they also made a concerted effort to bring in an extra blocker, too.
Right.
So. They did that in Miami, though. Cameron Froehlich was coming in as an extra blocker.
Not as many times.
Not as many
times. For three plays, they did it for 28 this week.
Yeah, but
I mean, they play with an extra lineman and a fullback.
Fullback.
So
it was Max Pro.
There was pass routes this week.
You know that that's a
pass protection term. He does now.
There were pass plays that they ran on Sunday that they had only one guy go out.
He goes Max Pro empty and runs a draw.
Yeah. Right.
Paul gets so mad. Like, I was trying to talk serious football and you guys are screwing around.
No, it's sad more than mad. I was so aligned with him, and then he comes out with, you know, Max Pro.
Well, that's your guy.
We're talking about running.
Devin follows up on the HGH. It's not synthetic. It's grown from living cells. So it must be human, right?
Well, so then they didn't invent it or whatever, right?
They figured out how to do it.
But I wonder, like,
where do they get the human cells?
That's what I'm wondering. Are people donating their bodies to the cause?
Or sure. Stem cells?
Could be.
And why wouldn't you use grizzly bear cells? They grow bigger than we do.
Then you're morphing into a different thing.
Sharks. They're big. Dolphins. Aren't they just like one continuous muscle? Right? Dolphins, they can do that dance across
the water. Peter writes in from Ottawa. You guys were talking about emails and phone calls, and I have to say I like hearing the emails better than the calls.
Most people do.
Chester from Portland calls and drives me insane. Love Christian. Keep up the great work. Poor Chester. He comes in. He has his stuff ready. What's wrong with Chester?
What's wrong with Shelley Smith? She looks like she got, I mean, forget it.
Phil from Sussex, England. Are you worried at all about the offense or Brady if Gronk is Gronk?
You're going to say spend some time with Adrian Peterson or something?
Basically, I was going to say. She's an embedded domestic violence reporter.
How about let's answer the email?
I didn't.
Are you worried
she
about?
Look like she put her makeup on wrong.
Something's wrong with like her, one of the eyes. And
her right eye looks like it has more makeup on than the
left. Or she rubbed it.
How about answering the email?
Are
you worried about the Patriots' offense if Gronk is Gronk?
Yes.
No. If like Gronk is Gronk?
Yeah.
I'm not as worried, but I still would prefer to be a little more diverse in the passing game.
I think they would be okay if Gronk turned back into
Well, I
Gronk.
Think it would... It'd be like the chicken and the egg would come together because if Gronk's good, I think somebody else would step up and be a more reliable extra option.
Last chance for you over there. There's a lot of fries left.
Okay, give me those. See, this isn't fair. You guys are trying to make me fat like you. He slides me pizza, you slide me fries, and I eat it.
Terry in D.C., how do you think the relationship is right now between Tom and Bill? Do you think it has changed in the last few years versus earlier in Tom's career? If so, how? Sometimes I get the sense that Tom is less willing to blindly accept everything BB says and does as he gets older and more experienced. What are your thoughts on that?
Probably. I mean, they've been with each other for so long. Brady, I think... almost probably feels like a coach at this point.
I know, but recently Brady has said, and this is, you know, something he said convincingly, that, you know, he thinks Bill Belichick's the best coach ever and wouldn't want to play for any other coach. And
yeah, he says that all the time.
I know. And I think he means it.
I still believe him, yeah. but I don't I think just like some of Bill's former coaches like Dante would push back, you know, Charlie Weiss, I'm sure, would push back on him. Romeo probably pushed back a little bit. I think Brady's at the stage in his career where he feels like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to say he does. I wouldn't be surprised if he feels like he can push back a little bit at
times. Plus, he's got a strong-willed woman at home. And I'm not making a joke about this. He has gotten married to a woman who has a reputation of being pretty strong-willed. And, you know, he's like every other guy in America, I would assume. He goes home and talks about whatever is happening at work, and she might kind of, well, that's not, I mean, that's not right. That's a little ridiculous.
You think they talk about football?
Yes.
Like, he talks about the job at home?
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't either.
I don't think she has any interest in
I don't
football.
Either. Nope.
Well, what do they talk about? They don't ever discuss their
kids
their
and
life.
And, yeah.
But life.
And believe it or not, I talk about very little
football.
Yeah,
I don't
football.
Go home
I
and talk
home.
About my job that much.
Oh. I don't talk about football. I go home and talk about, well, you know,
Fred
so-and-so
jerk.
Had this, and Fred hurt his knee, but he refuses to wear the crutches and the immobilizer. Like, I talk about, that's my life. And I assume Tom Brady, who spends somewhere in the range of 10 to 12 hours a day here, that's a big portion of his life.
Yeah, well, now, I think we're sort of
do I think they discuss the
things.
Game plan? No.
Well, but
do
that's
I think,
what I think.
Well, you should have heard Bill chew out Amendola today.
That would be
crazy.
Funny. No, they did discuss the game plan, though.
Well, but I don't think so.
But I think that.
Are you kidding? Running the ball?
what do they mean, run the ball the first three plays? What kind of script is that?
But that's kind of what
I'm
talking
about. Let me get that McDaniels phone number. Right. How do I get. No, but I think that what we're talking about is if you're saying that her being strong-willed is sort of influencing him to maybe push back a little bit more, but then you don't think they're talking about football. I think he probably talks about stuff that happens during the course of his day here. Like, yeah, like you said, like, oh, you should have seen, like, Amendola today. You know, he did this funny thing to Dobson or whatever, but I don't think he's...
I said Z-fire slant, and he ran Z-fire out. It was ridiculous!
Yeah, I could see something like that. I don't really see them talking about football, per se. And I think if we're asking, does Brady and Belichick not get along as well as maybe they once did, or I haven't really seen any signs of that.
No.
I still don't see Brady as a guy who is really speaking out. Do you? I mean, like, I still see Brady
no,
as...
he doesn't question authority.
No, I think Brady's a guy who goes along. I think he does what he's supposed to do.
I think that he has input in the offense. In fact...
That's not what I... That's not the same thing. I'm saying... If we're asking if there are signs that there is some sort of
there aren't any
widening of the I don't see it. I see him always saying that there's no coach he'd rather play for, and I see Belichick always saying there's no quarterback I'd rather have.
Till he replaces him with Garoppolo next October.
15th.
Did we put a date on it?
I thought you did.
I think you did.
Oh.
Maybe,
oh
no.
It was October of 15.
October of 15.
Because I don't know where the dates are going to come in terms of the football week.
It's a good point by you.
Jeff in FLA, I was disappointed early in the game against the Vikings. I don't think some players are playing tough. A couple of examples. Devin McCourty did not challenge Asiata's run into the end zone, and Vereen casually went out of bounds just short of the line of gain on third down. Every game counts and every play counts. Also, who was our best safety next to McCourty? Right now, I think they're all bad.
Probably Ebner. He is just, his rate of growth is immense.
I did notice that one play on the sideline where I thought Vereen could have put his head down and maybe plowed ahead.
That first run Vereen had that he just alluded to, I would agree.
He didn't reach the line to gain.
the necessary line.
I thought he could have tried to make a dive or lower his shoulder instead of going out of bounds.
And the question is, I don't know if it's toughness or awareness. He may not have been aware
with
the sticks
one, were. The McCourty one, I don't think is as egregious as he's making it out to be. It looked kind of bad, but he had no chance to keep him out of the end zone.
No, McCourty's mistake was not getting in the end zone on his return.
To which Andy and I poked a little fun at Devin yesterday.
Well, yeah.
I went up to him. I said, statute of limitations gone by yet? Can I make fun of you for not getting in on that, on that pick? And he started laughing. He goes, believe me, you're not the first. And he goes, I could show you some texts. And then I said, yeah, Andy and I were watching, and just kind of looked like you ran out of gas there. He goes, no. It wasn't kind of. I ran out of gas.
That's funny. Mike in Connecticut, I've read some stuff about Nate Ebner. and that he's playing safety slash linebacker in certain situations. Can you talk more about what he's bringing to this team defensively? I always figured he's only a special teamer.
Well, that's what he started at, but he's been getting
I think we're ready. I think we're ready at this point.
Here's where Paul talks about loose change on the defensive side of the ball.
Here we go.
I have a rant. Fred, can I have a rant? It won't take long. Maybe a minute. Two max. Belichick had the long quote about how top 5% of guys in terms
growth.
Of
he's ever coached
in terms of growth.
From
can we stop like having to have those guys? Can we just
Why is
take
there a
guy
game on in the background?
Can we just take a guy who's good and then have him get better as Say opposed
moron.
To a guy who never played football, Stephen Neal, a guy who never played defense in Nate Ebner. A guy who didn't have a position in Matthew Slater. Why do we have to have this immense growth with our players? Why can't we just draft players that were already good in college and they get better in the pros? End of
Fred
rant.
Wasn't listening.
End of rant.
Wasn't an epic rant.
End of rant.
I was actually a little disappointed.
Paul's like, why don't we just start the floor a little higher?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, why do we have? I mean,
like draft somebody who should be drafted.
Yeah, but I don't care about the great story of
start out with a little tiny house and end up with vaulted ceilings.
But there's some guys that have that. You look and go, "Whoa, this guy's an athlete, and his ceiling could be much higher than that guy."
Okay, if that were true, I'd be all for it.
Right,
we're taking guys that their ceiling is special team slash maybe he could play in the dime. That's the ceiling. That's what you're getting. I don't. Okay, is that more of
That's
a rant
a
for
better.
You?
That's a little better.
More, you like it better?
Well, how do you know he couldn't play regular
what
defense?
What about a Stephen Neal?
What do you think of him on regular defense?
I don't think he can play regular
defense.
I
don't either. So
I think
why
he got exposed with regularity on the practice field this summer.
But I don't even want him in the dime. I know that he has been out there and it's been okay, but I don't think he's a good defensive player. I don't.
And you know what also bothers me? Bill's raving about how far he's come.
Because he had to come from so far.
Exactly. So why was he on the field playing safety as a rookie when we're losing in Seattle?
Yeah, that's how I'm leading off my story.
Oh, details.
No, like, because if he indeed has come ridiculously far, then what the F were you doing putting him on the field as a rookie in Seattle?
Yeah, I was trying to remember
as usual,
that game,
my
whether
rant's
there was
not
a
really all that ranty.
Injury problem that game. I couldn't remember what the reason was for his being in. He and Tavon Wilson were both in there at the very end during the comeback.
Well, I heard after
the long ball was, you know, the game winner.
After Bill mentioned that thing about Ebner, I heard that Ebner got a text from James Sanders and said, I heard he just mentioned you, watch out.
Oh. Like to have a team full of James Sanders.
Uh-huh.
Never played again.
Right.
Out the league.
It took you a little while. Like,
you're not always easy to follow.
I'm not aware of that quote.
Arizona.
Yeah. And I believe he's on a pending drug suspension if he ever signs with a team.
Did he say that right before he got cut?
No, it was about a year before.
He was very effusive.
He didn't play him very much, and then he cut him. His role diminished after he said you couldn't have enough James Sanders on your team.
53.
Yeah.
He wanted 53 guys.
Right. I vaguely remember him saying it. I didn't remember, though.
It was up in the red press box.
Cutting being that.
It's a bit presumptuous by you, and I know we're presumptuous a lot. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, Bill could think he's a real safety.
I mean, he could still be getting better, Paul.
You know, some guys are stepping
up. You know, this time next year, we're like,
I think
Nate Ebner's a starting safety.
I think he is still getting better. Because you couldn't possibly have started at a lower point.
No, but you know what I'm saying. See, now you're being sarcastic.
You're being Paul.
You're missing the entire point of my rant is stop taking guys that are going to continue to get better 4 years in and still not be starting level.
Right.
That's my point.
But the end game for Ebner could be pretty high.
By the time
know.
He's ready to retire, he might be good enough to play.
Now you're being sarcastic.
Year six
but
jump.
Thank you. That's my point.
He doesn't know I was mocking him. He's making a good point, though.
No,
Fred.
It is a very good point. I do think sometimes we err on the side of too much upside and developmental as opposed to...
No, because we have to be fancy. We have to do the thing. No. We're wild and wacky. No one ever knows what New England's going to do. Yeah, I do. They're going to take a guy you never heard of. And most of them aren't going to pan out.
Okay.
We asked him for a rant. He's ranting.
Now, the other issue in, I believe, that same paragraph was... And we got a lot of good players at that position. We got a lot of talent there, and he's earned reps in spite of all that talent. And, you know, let's just look at Sunday. They played really, you know, on all four downs. Who gives a rat's ass?
Again, all four downs.
Right.
All four downs. That's important.
Defense plays three downs.
We have all these guys that can play on all four downs, yet we've had two games this year. One game we played very well in special teams. The other game we couldn't have been worse. couldn't have, as you would say. Sorry, I got the inflection wrong.
All right, Knowles in Denver.
It's kind of like yesterday when I had no idea what
I'm James... sorry that we're talking about the Patriots, Fred. I didn't mean to do that.
I just wanted to get a call in.
Well, we will in a second, but I had no idea what Jameis Winston had said before he got suspended. And they're talking about it on EEI, and they're like, no texters, we're not going to tell you what... Well, we need to know. Not all of us know what he said.
Right. Did you check out the origins of that on YouTube?
Yes.
What it's hysterical.
What did he say?
Bleeper right in the bleeper.
Yeah.
And actually, Fred can say the last word.
Who was he talking? What do you mean?
Not in that context.
But wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
Not in that context.
No, it's
what do you mean
thing?
The origins
it's
of
a,
it?
It's a YouTube...
all the kids are saying it now. It's like a catchphrase. It's a catchphrase.
Right.
And it started on a newscast. This lady was out in the field.
That started on a newscast?
Yes. Really? She was live. She was reporting about a gas leak that had exploded.
Yeah.
And so she's got this guy next to her, like a man on the street. And she sets it up. She goes, sir, you were there? What happened? He goes, I was sitting on my porch drinking some beer, and then I bleeped her right in the bleep. And she's like, okay, that'll be enough. And they go back to the studio and go, we apologize for that. That's how it started.
Okay, so now it's become a thing for kids to do.
Right.
And I'm guessing he got dared, do it right now, right here, and he stood up on the table and did it.
So they're all doing it now.
I have no problem with it. I mean, it's a dumb thing to do, but like a childish kid, stupid, everybody's done it kind of thing to do.
He got suspended for the cumulative effect of his...
Sure. He should have been suspended when he bleeped her in the bleep when she didn't want him to.
Right.
Right.
That's the bigger issue.
Well, he's the last guy that should be talking about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's why I think he got...
Yeah. No, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Hey, Fred, I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Hey, who said that when Brady goes down next year, we'll replace him? Who jumped in there and knocked Brady real fast?
Andy. Andy thinks he's going to be replaced in October of 2015.
Okay. So the Boston Herald had an article on Jimmy this morning. But, you know, you got the best quarterback in the NFL still playing for us, unless, of course, you forget what he did last year.
Anyhow, no, I don't forget what he did last year. He completed the lowest completion percentage of his career.
Top five offense?
I don't look at stats. It
wasn't because of him.
I've been watching the Patriots since
Stephen Ridley.
Rob Gronkowski.
I am so happy to have Brady.
Sorry, no.
He's going to come out fine. I got a couple of questions.
Wait, he's not going to come out fine sooner or later. He is not on the ascension. He's on the descension. At some point, he's going to suck.
Well, age catches up with all of us.
Exactly.
On the descension?
Hit the golf ball. You're not hitting the golf ball as far now as I did.
Exactly. It's Mother Nature. It happens.
Ridiculous.
It's Father Time. It's all those people. You know, and Paul makes fun of me because I give Brady the benefit of the doubt, but it is going to happen. He is not going to be fine someday. Someday,
and then 5 years coming. After that, Andy's going to say,
right.
You were right.
And Paul's going to say, Wes Welker sucks the day he's inducted in Canton.
It happens to Montana.
I'll call him the worst Hall of Famer. I'll guarantee you that.
But right now,
well, it's nothing if not stubborn.
Let's talk right now, because I think this is going to be a great year for the Pats. I really do. And I live here in Denver, and everybody who doesn't like Brady calls him arrogant. I've never seen that yet. I see it a lot of with Peyton Manning. Let me ask you this. Do you feel that Broncos have done more to help Peyton Manning out than the Patriots have to help Tom Brady out, number one? And number two question, and I'll listen to your answer, is, when they played Seattle in the preseason, they said that was revenge. What are we going to see in that Seattle-Denver game upcoming?
Yeah, that was nonsense, that whole preseason revenge thing.
This
game coming up
is still not revenge.
It's not revenge.
They don't give you a ring.
Did they really do that?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They said it was revenge?
Well,
I don't even know
one
who did.
Player might have said
it was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I hadn't heard about nothing.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Well, you don't follow football. We do.
And I don't think the Broncos have done... They had two... starting caliber wide receivers, they let one walk in free agency, just like everybody else does.
But they replaced him with a young guy.
They signed a guy...
That the Patriots wouldn't get.
For short money.
Yeah. What you should be saying is Josh McDaniels tried to help out Tim Tebow. And now Manning has some of those guys.
Oh, Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
Okay. I have tried... Sometimes it takes me a little while to understand what you are talking about.
Okay. I'm
just going to be honest.
All right. It's tough. I know it's... Jeff... more HGH stuff. He's a little listener on listener crime. I don't know what the earlier caller was talking about, but growth hormones, human and pig, started being used in the 50s to treat deficiencies in people. In the 80s, extraction from living persons, animals, and cadavers was replaced by recombinant DNA technology. Also, most of the meat products you eat are growth hormone enhanced animals.
Right. That's why young girls have big breasts, a lot of people believe.
And boys are getting bigger.
Yeah. Former members of the Patriots organization have subscribed to that theory.
But I think that's what the guy was talking about. They used to extract it from people, and then he said in 80 or whatever, they figured out how they didn't need to do that. I don't think there was any confusion.
Recombinant
there.
DNA, whatever.
I don't
that
know what
means.
That means.
I don't either.
You recombine it?
Yeah, I guess so, I'm going to check out of this conversation. You guys are way above my head. I had trouble last night with Will's homework. He's in the fourth grade.
I have trouble in the kindergarten.
I struggled a little bit.
I told you
to
I left a note. I left a note one night. I was so angry.
I don't know what this means.
I said a note, and I put my SAT score in math and said, I can't do kindergarten homework. There's a problem here.
Singapore math, man. It's going to kill them all.
What was the issue?
It's stupid, the way they make you do stuff these days. And remember, you don't remember my whole
argument?
You
can't say 6 times 7 is 42. You have to explain why in
a
paragraph.
Even worse. Remember the person who said if you ask a child what 8 plus 4 is and they say 11, but they thought about it the right way to get the answer, they're right. They're not necessarily wrong.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, they're bleeping wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like you know how you
that's
just, like,
that's the ultimate. Everybody gets a trophy.
You know how you memorize.
You're wrong, and we're telling you, but you thought okay, so you're.
You know how you
really
just
not.
Memorized like everything
right.
on the.
You had your multiplication table,
right?
But,
I stressed about that.
But you just know 6 + 4 = 10. You didn't have to know like well 6 was.
Well, that's addition.
No, but you memorized
and they
everything.
Have this whole
addition,
like,
subtraction, multiplication, division up to 10, maybe 12. You knew every one of them,
and they
just
have
because
like,
you memorized it.
Everything is
you
based
you don't
off
do that
doubles.
Anymore.
Like to know 6 + 5,
faces.
5 + 5 = 10. Plus, I have an extra 1, so that's 11.
You go by tens
and
ones,
and
he's right. That's how they do it. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's a method, but that's not the only way.
It's
to
madness.
Do it.
It's not a method. Mike, by the way, the country is backing off it. They've realized it's asinine and stupid, and a lot of school districts, states are pulling out and saying this is stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Micah
in Oregon.
Moon.
Just a quick question about our offense. While during week one, the second half was certainly a disappointing effort for the offense, I was not disappointed with the second half offense in game two. I thought they controlled the time of possession and pretty much put the game away, even though they did not score a lot of points.
Six.
To me, this is an excellent accomplishment. I know that we would like to see the Patriots scoring 50 points a game.
Paul.
But I don't think Belichick has the same perspective these days. He's comfortable with the two-score lead and then run out the clock plan. If that is the case, is that a recipe for winning in the playoffs?
Used to be.
If you have a good D, it is. You have to have the
So you've lost faith in the defense.
I'm not even talking about a plan.
No, I'm saying.
I think they have the potential to have a good defense.
I think that is you can win that way, but you need the good defense.
But I'm not even talking about the game plan or whatever going in. I would strongly disagree that that's what happened in the second half on Sunday. I don't think they ran out the clock. They weren't trying to score. They just wanted to take time off the clock.
They didn't give out a single point.
They were 5 for 14 on third down. They got stopped 3 times on 3rd and 2 or less. That's not part of what they wanted to do to run out the clock.
Team never lost because they punted.
No, listen, that's why they didn't lose the game, Andy, because they had a big lead. But don't tell me that
they extended their lead.
They weren't efficient offensively in the second half. They didn't
scored
run
points.
Out the clock.
Scored more points than their opponent.
And by the way,
isn't that the goal?
I think the coach and the quarterback told you the answers to what they thought of the performance offensively on Sunday with what they've talked about this week.
Ultimately, the things that matter in a football game are the score and turnovers, right?
And I would say ultimately.
And they've won both of those things.
Ultimately, Bill Belichick is always talking to you about
one game.
Only
one game.
Caring about. Only,
late, really late.
Only caring about the score, right? How many times has Bill Belichick said the only stats that we're concerned with is points for and points against?
Right.
He spent an awful lot of time this week talking about the need to get other people involved offensively. We have good players to do it. We have to do a better job of that. We need to find a way to eliminate the penalties. He spent an awful lot of time talking about things other than points for.
Well, that's only because he knows.
Because they played awful offensively.
He knows down the road that could affect the
score.
That's
not sustainable. Exactly.
Right. But you know what is sustainable? A good running game. It travels.
Oh, he is nothing but a walking and talking cliche.
Right. Fred corrects
me. He doesn't
me
even believe half of his own crap.
About the effing and the pee. He says that wasn't the origin of the meme, Fred. He was actually on the news before, and he grabbed the mic from the reporter and said it. Then the time you guys mentioned was next. Then recently he was disguised in a mask.
Oh, this is the same
it.
Guy that does this all the time? He's like a Baba Booey guy?
Yeah, he is notorious because he managed to get on live TV 3 times to say it. Other than that...
That's awesome.
I wonder if it's the guy that used to call here with the,
Oh, yeah, the foreskin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, as much as I hate both the sea chickens and the donkeys, I am calling a Denver blowout simply because we are in the regular season. As for the Patriots, I'm calling a 34-10 blowout. Edelman goes 12 for 123 and one touchdown.
Well, Denver hasn't exactly been on the blowout train. They've looked like it for short periods of games.
They've had games in control, but they haven't been able to maintain the control.
Seattle. Seattle wins.
Yeah, they had a 24-0 lead.
This game's in Seattle. Seattle wins.
They had a 24-0 lead and a 21-10 lead in their two games, and both of them ended up being one possession
games. Denver doesn't
have
the chops.
That was perfect inflection on that.
Oh, my goodness. Junior writes in, great show as always. Do you guys see the Patriots trying to exploit Oakland's 32nd-ranked run defense?
Yes.
Or do you think the Brady will want to throw that he can not only pass to, want to prove that he can not only pass to other receivers, but do it against the number two-ranked pass defense?
Well, they're not really the number two-ranked pass defense. I mean, they are, but they aren't.
It's
when
too
you give
early.
Up 400. Oh, wait, what is that?
It's too early. The stats are skewed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're okay with the Wilson Hart Power Index coming out after 4 weeks?
Oh, he was just waiting for that. Ba-da-ba! I think having a power index where you have no input, I mean, what's the sense?
See, I would...
Because it's an index. Yeah, that's what an index is. It's based on numbers.
Yeah, right, but
you would
have,
know. A
you
poll
have,
is based on people.
You have nothing to do with it.
Poll only, is based on people. Not, index is based on numbers.
Not only do you have nothing to do with it, even the index itself was created by somebody else.
No, it wasn't.
Really, all you did was slap your name on
it. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I created
it. Yes, you did.
I created the index.
Off of
which
other
is,
people's sweat and
no.
knowledge.
You have no idea. Ignorance. Are you happy?
I do have an idea.
I
remember the
idea.
Day you got it from somebody else.
I didn't get it from somebody. I consulted with a number of great football minds on the topic.
A number of?
Yes.
Yes. Well,
there's multiples.
A number of great football minds.
Yes.
Wow.
One of them is, and one of them thinks he is.
You have a much looser interpretation of great football mind than I do.
He's great in his own mind.
Tony writes in, Reese's stat in his blog this morning was revealing. The Patriots wide receivers no longer lead the league in drop passes as they have the past 2 years. Yippee. They're only 28th this season. I do shudder, however, to think...
Because we haven't thrown the ball enough.
I do shudder, however...
I mean, we're bad in drops?
I don't know.
Have we had drops, a lot of drops? You keep track of that sort of thing.
Not this year, no.
Because I can't even recall really
I'm guessing
a single
if you're
drop.
28th in drops, you're good. You're first in
that's
drops.
Good.
You could call, like, the one in Miami with Gronk a drop. It was at his hip, low hard pass. He dropped it, hit it in the hands. That was a drop.
I think that I might have charted one drop in the first two games.
Yeah, because I can't recall very many passes. I said, oh, wow, here we go, just like last
what was the number?
Year.
They went from what to what?
32nd to 28th. So
oh, no. Wait. What?
Wait, what?
He says they're only 28th this season.
Yeah, but does that mean you drop a lot or don't drop a lot?
Oh, I don't know. I assume it's
bad.
I would
think if you're first in drops, that means you
okay.
have most drops.
All right, so...
If you're first in drops, I would think you have the
although,
most.
Okay, yeah. So that's
if you're first in points allowed, you have the fewest.
Right.
Right?
That's true.
Correct.
That's true.
So I don't know how they do it. I do shudder.
So
however,
are we first?
Or maybe they're getting better.
Penalty
maybe they're getting
yardage
better,
differential or 32nd in penalty yardage?
I just can't imagine that we are toward the bottom in drops because I can't
really
even
think
of
we didn't really drop that
of
many passes.
Drops off the top of my head.
I just can't imagine that we are relatively well-educated professionals having this discussion.
I do shudder, however, to think where they'll rank once last year's notable pass droppers, Dobson and Tompkins, actually are able to work their way into the lineup for two or more consecutive games. If I'm frustrated, just imagine Brady's state of mind. That reminds me of one thing that I think Noel or one of the other callers said. He said, after the first game, I was angry. This is to fans everywhere. There's no reason to be angry after a Patriots football game. You can be disappointed and all that. Don't get angry.
There's no reason to be angry after any football
game
don't, ever.
Don't
why,
get
are why are you telling people what they should be?
I just
who
for
are you,
the
who are you
for
who
the
you?
Sake of you know
who
humanity.
You?
This isn't something to be angry about. It's disappointed.
Fred's right.
Don't get angry.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. Don't get angry.
What about if your wife refuses your sexual advances?
What does that have to do with?
Apparently, that's why Jonathan Dwyer beat his woman. He headbutted.
Yeah, that'll make her want to do it.
He headbutted her, and then the next day he punched her in the face and hit the kid with a shoe.
Oh, for God's
17-month-old sake. Hit her with a shoe or him.
Wow.
Why
that's
did he
your
hit
guy?
Why did he hit the kid?
I don't know. Why did he hit the woman?
Well, no.
I wouldn't give it up.
Damn it, woman!
I'm wondering if
bend over.
Unbelievable.
You know, if he's mad at the wife and he's taking it out on the kid, or if Like, what?
I don't know.
Kid was probably crying.
Probably cried when he was trying to bang her again or something.
Oh, my God. What is going on in this league?
Well, it's the world.
It is the world.
Well, I know, but
this is just a microcosm of the world.
We treat our women well in this country compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I love that. I love those theories. You know, like every time the Patriots' offense is struggling, well, so does everybody else's offense. You know, we treat our women better compared to the rest of the world.
I'm just saying how bad it is everywhere.
How lovely that must be.
As bad as it is here, holy crap.
Holy crap.
Jamie's in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Just about everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Not the offense.
What's that?
The offense doesn't have it going on.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think we've got enough of our listeners and fan base, you know, concerned about that. And again, you guys had brought it up earlier in the week too. You know that I think you know a lot of the Kool-Aid drinkers have stated, "Oh well, we got the line straightened out, and you know we're better there." But I think you guys pointed out, well, did we really? Because we were in a max protect format, and that's half the reason why we didn't have Gronk out there. Catching ball because he wasn't out there because we had the other stiff neck, you know, cracking down and being the sixth lineman, you know, to give Brady a half an extra second.
Well, to be fair, the extra lineman and the fullback, that was for running purposes. Don't fall into Fred Kirsch's max protect trap. That was a run-based front. That's what they were trying to do there. It wasn't about...
But they did throw the ball a lot with Devlin on the field.
Right.
Which takes away one of your skill guys.
They threw it to Devlin.
But gives you extra protection.
Well, it doesn't take away a skill guy. It utilizes one of your skill guys.
I apologize 1,000 times.
That is also
they
about...
They had pass routes that only one player went out for.
But that's about throwing out... Because you don't want to become predictable. Oh, they got those guys on the field. They're running.
That's right. About protecting
Brady.
Well,
they only
Brady.
Threw 23
No, it's about
passes.
Not being predictable.
And protecting Brady.
Yeah, but
and not being predictable.
And then you mentioned also...
I think it was about protecting
there,
Brady. I'm with
Andy,
you.
Andy, about being predictable.
You
we
beat
do
again.
That not to be predictable, but we run Shane Vereen in third and forever, again, like we have for 3 years, like that's been discussed, you know. So are we on the pot or off the pot? You know, I think we've gotten
pooped.
Lazy with the play calling, and, you know, the imagination isn't there, and we just haven't created ways to give, you know, our guys to get the ball. If they can't get it to them by throwing it and catching it, then get these guys out of the backfield like we once used to.
Right. All right, Jamie, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. Let's go to Denver. Get on the pot. Right?
Oh, God.
All right, one more call. We'll make it quick because we have to do our picks.
Silvio needs more comedy time.
Silvio's in San Diego. What's up, Silvio?
I just had a question. What year was Kaepernick a rookie when he became a starter?
No, second year.
Second year.
Okay. All right, then. One more quick question.
Okay.
Who gets rid of the ball quicker, Brady or Garoppolo?
Oh God, it's not right,
right
now
Brady.
Brady.
Right. Yeah. But I think that's an experience thing.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that's a technique or release thing.
Yeah, and release wise, I think Garoppolo has a little quicker release, but in terms of just getting the ball from start to finish, Brady, because he just knows what he's doing.
Because he decides quicker.
Yeah.
It's not a physical thing, it's a getting it from the brain down to the arm thing.
Right. All right, Silvio, thanks for the call. Okay, it's that time of the week.
We usually take a break here.
We don't have to. Want to take a break?
I don't want to, but you usually do.
We don't need
to. So why'd you say that if you don't want to?
Because I don't.
I don't want him yelling how we have to hurry through the picks. We have plenty of time. Let's just do it.
What will he do next?
All right. Paul, what happened last week?
Another tough week for everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Except me.
Fred, Paul, and Andy all tied at 9-7. Eric was 8-8.
Oh, loser.
With the spread, Fred and Paul tied at 9-7. Andy was 7-9, and Eric was 6-10.
Ooh. Loser.
Good. I like that.
For the season, Fred maintains leads in both categories. He's 21-11 overall. I am next at 18-14. Andy is 17-15, and Eric is 16-16. With the spread, Fred is 17-15, leading the way by himself, and the three of us are all tied one game behind at 16-16.
Okay, that's not bad. 500.
That is horrific.
Oh, with the spread?
Yes.
No.
The best.
Wait, so Eric's
You record look at those experts in the paper,
he's 16
Paul.
16 and 16 and 16 and 16.
You look at those experts on the paper against the spread. They don't do well.
What experts in the paper?
They don't put experts in
they're
the paper.
They're car dealers.
Like Paul Lazarus or whoever it is, or Jim Lazarius. I don't know.
Jim Lazar. Those aren't experts. That's what I'm saying. Those are guys that work for
Paul
newspapers.
Lazarus.
Okay, well, whatever.
He comes back from the dead every once in a while.
Right.
Though. Jim Lazar.
That, you know, it's hard to do well against the spread. It is. That's what separates.
I know, but there's four of us, and somebody should be more than two games over 500 2 weeks into the season.
2 weeks. That's a tough 2 weeks.
All right, let's get going
it's
here.
A poor effort by us.
Tonight, CBS and the NFL Network present Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Present.
There's a great chance that I will not see a single play of this game tonight.
Well, you don't like football.
I certainly don't like bad football.
He's got a Little League meeting.
No, I don't have anything. Tonight.
You know what that is? That's a euphemism for drinking.
I do have to go to a wake tonight.
That's what he does. But he just goes to those meetings because they have Miller Lite afterwards.
Oh, sure. During. What? Not after.
I do go to the meeting, though. Yeah. Then we go out afterwards.
Oh, okay.
We get our drink on.
Oh, my God.
You going to pick it?
Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't know you get
pick
the number.
Pick it and stick it!
Did you get the number? I don't think you gave the number.
Probably not. Atlanta by 6.5.
Atlanta at home by 6.5 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta. Even though I'm not buying how if they're going to be good or not good, I have no interest in Tampa at all.
I'll take the Falcons because they're at home, but I don't trust them yet. So I'll take the points, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, I am going with my theory. Going back, I think that's the problem with my mediocrity. I'm venturing away from the crap team theory. Two crap teams take the home team, Atlanta.
Me too, Atlanta, and they cover.
The only problem with that theory, though, is
you don't know who a crap team is in week three.
Right.
I agree.
That's
why I've sort of ventured away from it.
It's like when you declared the NFC West the worst division in football, and it was really
the
best.
It was like 5 years ago.
No, it was pretty recent. It was
the beginning of last year.
Yeah. It was not last year. San Francisco's been the best team in football over the last 5 years. It wasn't last year.
You didn't believe it.
San Diego at Buffalo. San Diego at Buffalo, Sunday at 1.
Our time by 2.
Kevin.
What?
Buffalo by 2.
Oh, that's who our time is?
That's what you taught me.
Yeah.
Hashtag our time.
They are very excited. They're very excited. Did you know the guy bought the team in cash?
Really?
Straight cash, homie.
Good for him.
$1.4 billion he went
wow.
And just rolled
did he get
it off.
Is it like a car dealership? Did he get a discount for paying in cash?
Right.
He
cash
legitimately discount? Could write a check for $1.4 million.
Yeah. Billion.
What is it?
I mean, billion?
With a billion.
Is it Lagula? No.
No, it's Pagula.
Yeah, Pagula. Something like that. Yeah.
Pagula.
Wow.
But yeah, he paid straight cash, homie. I assume it was actually a check.
I bet you he fell below the threshold in the bank that you have to have so much in your savings account
right.
to get a little
bit. But, you know, think about it, though.
Probably
he's got fees now.
He's going to get like a $15
minimum balance of $500 million.
If you, like, have $2 billion in the bank and you write a check for $1.4 billion, that's a huge percentage of your worth, but now you still have $600 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to make that money back on your, you know, so...
You hope,
yeah,
unless you're a bad business person.
Well, in the NFL, you can't.
In the NFL, you got to be like
and not only
Tommy
that,
Boy to lose money.
But not only that, you still have X number in the bank. You own two sports franchises that you could unload for the NHL, $500 million and a billion at either time.
Right.
So you can, boom, like that, liquidate and have $1.5 billion again.
Right.
He owns the Sabres.
Sabres.
Yeah, they're saying he's going to take over Buffalo Sports because he's going to bring back. They used to have it like a Nesson that kind of fiddled out, faded out. He's going to bring that back because he owns everything and can kind of put it all together as
maybe one. Fred Smarlis can get a job up there.
Conglomerate. I will take the Chargers. I'm not buying the Bills. I'm sorry. I don't buy Doug Marrone. Everybody can rave about Doug Marrone all they want.
What
I still think he's a Marrone. Exactly.
I was a little surprised at how well the Chargers played against the Super Bowl champs last week, and I know West Coast teams have a tough time coming east, but I'm with Andy. I don't really buy the Bills, so.
San Diego. Superchargers. San Diego.
Chargers. Paul's not amused.
He never is.
Paul likes Sunshine Day, but he doesn't like
this. I love this.
Right. Okay.
I can see.
What do you want me to do? Right,
we're like dancing and smiling.
Should I talk and
stone
say over
over
it?
There.
Talk and say over it?
Talk over the music? Jeez. I think San Diego has a huge letdown. Some of us saw that game coming last week and predicted it.
Now he's an expert picker.
Sniff implied.
Yeah, but he's an expert picker who just said we all suck.
We do. We all suck. I'm 16-16 with the spread. That sucks.
I saw that coming. The others I didn't.
I agree with Andy and Eric. I am not buying into the Buffalo resurgence by any means, but I do buy into the West Coast coming East Coast, especially coming off such a big win for them. I think Buffalo wins this game. And
go
really? Pretty soon it'll start unraveling for them.
3-0. Oh,
I'm going to go with San Diego in this game. I really think that Philip Rivers has had a second life in the NFL starting last year. And, I just think they're a better football team than Buffalo.
They are. Although they're a much better team.
And remember, that game in San Diego last week, you know, we talked about the Patriots going down to Miami, and it was over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a big factor for the Seahawks. So I'll go with the Chargers. Tennessee at Cincinnati, Sunday at 1. Tennessee at Cincinnati.
Bengals by 7.
Yeah, Bengals. And you know what, though? Give me the points. Scrappy Titans.
I'm not buying the Titans either. Cincy at home. Win and cover, Paul.
I am taking Cincy at home as well. Tennessee is just impossible to figure out.
Anonymous.
I have no idea.
They're anonymous.
Yeah, I have no idea about that.
I got to go with Cincinnati, too. Defense is good. Baltimore at Cleveland, Sunday at 1.
Scratch me up every time. Baltimore by 1.5.
Yeah, I'll take Baltimore.
Easily. Win and cover.
Yeah, I don't know how easy it'll be, but I will take Baltimore
Easy cover. I mean, 5 points is an easy cover over 1.5.
3 points. You doubled the spread.
Right.
Okay.
It's a 50% cover.
I think this will be a tight game.
This is my upset
of
the week.
I'll take Baltimore.
Cleveland wins.
No one takes the 1.5 dog and calls it an upset of the week like Fred.
I love it. He just loves it.
I do. That's like sport for me. When you always pick a game that's like a pick 'em and go, yeah. My upset special.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would think that most people are picking Baltimore.
I would think
for this
so.
Game.
From afar, if you just say Browns.
Well,
you know,
obviously not, because the spread is 1.5.
Because I'm smart like the bookies.
For Christ's sakes. We're
like the bookies.
Yeah, Cleveland wins this game.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
No.
Yes, they do.
Hoyer, they beat the Saints.
Yeah.
Bobby Hoyer.
Green Bay at Detroit, Sunday at 1.
Oh, this.
Detroit by 2.
You're just staring.
I couldn't find it.
Detroit by 2.
He doesn't go in the same order that I have the games written.
I do NFL.com order.
Which is out of order. The website, I mean, not the list. I am going to go with the Packers. Where is it? At Detroit?
At Detroit.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers. I don't feel great about it.
Oh, I just figured out how NFL.com does it. Chronology first, and then the home team alphabetical order is second.
Alt.geek.
They go by the time of the kickoff?
Well, no. All the 1 o'clock games are obviously before 4.
Okay.
But then of the 1 o'clock games, the home team alphabetical, that's how they line them up.
By mascot or city?
By city.
Oh, yeah, it's Chris Barrera.
I'm going to do this like I do every year, Paul, and fall victim to the Lions trap, and I'll take them at home.
You might as well get it out of the way early. I'm going to do the same thing. I'll take the Lions.
I haven't been a good one to get the HGH from, too.
A Lion, yeah.
I haven't been overly impressed with Green Bay in their first two games.
Rhinoceros.
And I think Detroit...
I wouldn't mind a horse.
Yeah. Detroit, I think, isn't bad. I think they're showing signs of being better coached. Although
maybe
I'm not
Jim
Caldwell guy, so I'll go with Detroit.
I'm with Paul. Green Bay was my pick in PFW to go all the way. Right now, like, they just don't look good. They could turn it around, but they just don't seem to have the horses. So it's at home. Detroit, I'll go with the Lions. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, Sunday at 1.
Colts
Andrew Luck, 0-2.
Colts by 7.
First time in his career he's lost 2 in a row.
Yeah. Colts by 7?
7.
Colts by more than 7.
Which is
I'll 10. Take the Colts to roll because...
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah,
yeah no. No Jacksonville.
No. I have to agree. Indy, big.
Yeah.
Big.
Surprised that there are no 1-2 start right now.
So are they.
Everybody taking Indy?
Yeah, I'll take the Colts to bounce back. I think they should have won that game Monday night.
So we're all on
now,
the
Fred,
Colts.
See, if you said this
would
is
be
your
an
upset.
Yeah.
I'd be impressed.
We'll skip over... Oakland and New England. Minnesota.
You're not going to make the pick in that?
Well, I think Indy all the way. Minnesota at New Orleans, Sunday at 1. Minnesota.
New Orleans by 10.5.
Ooh. New Orleans by 10.5 over the Peterless Vikings, as Mark Bertrand would say.
Is that what he said?
And it's kind of true. Like,
right.
It works both ways.
Yeah, I know.
I'll take New Orleans. I mean,
it'd be better if they had Monty Ball and then you say Ballless.
That's good. You should wait until it's going to be heard at some point. Save that. But yeah, I'll take the Saints to start to put it together at home. And my one concern would be if, you know, their defensive coordinator and head coach start brawling on the sideline or something.
I will take Minnesota to New Orleans to win at home, Paul. But that's a big number, and I want the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points too. I think the Saints will win the game, but that backdoor cover is.
Oh, I think there's a reason why that number is big, and
they're a lot better than Minnesota.
I'm going with in New Orleans, and plus I think Minnesota just said our season's done. And the players kind of see that, and that's it. New Orleans rolls to the
new stadium.
Houston at the Giants. Houston at the Giants, Sunday at 1.
Houston by 2.5. Second consecutive week, the 2-14 Texans are a road favorite.
Well, they played a crap team last week.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a crap team this week.
Yeah, I'm going with Houston. I'm going to ride my Billy O'Brien. I'm rooting for him, so I might as well pick him.
I would like to, but I have a feeling this is a game that will trip them up a little bit, and the Giants will squeak it out at home. I don't feel good about it, but I'm
okay.
They'll win an ugly game like this every once in a while.
How's Ryan Fitzpatrick's numbers been?
Not very good.
No?
He hasn't. I mean, he's completed a couple of touchdowns here and there, but overall he hasn't thrown the ball very much.
So above or below the Brady line?
People yelling, Ryan.
Foster's hurt a little bit.
Probably above. Wow, he had a huge game last week.
Yeah, but he's on the.
He ran for like 140 yards last
week.
He's
on a list. He's on a list. Alfonso Dennard is, though.
I will take Houston, although I understand Eric's apprehension, because bad teams that are expected to win games, sometimes they don't always go that way, and I think they're expected to win this game.
So are they a bad team?
I don't think Houston's very good.
So then shouldn't you take the Giants?
They don't have a quarterback.
True.
Because two bad teams, you take the home team.
I'm going to venture away from that again, taking Houston.
And then bitch about it next week when you lose.
Freddie, you going to watch this Gotham series on Fox?
No.
You like superhero stuff.
I know, but this TV series with commercials.
It's called DVR.
That was really...
He's so arrogant.
Seventh round pass rusher.
Well, there's an alternative right now. You know, you don't have to watch commercials anymore.
So DVR it and watch it.
Yeah. Not enough time in the day. Houston at Giants. I'll take Houston. Washington at Philadelphia, Sunday at 1.
Eagles by 6.5.
I'll take the Eagles. I don't believe in the Redskins with either quarterback.
I'll take the Eagles to fall by double digits early in the first half and then win by double digits in the second half.
I will take Philadelphia in this one, and I agree with Andy. I think it'll be big.
For some reason, I think Washington's going to stay within the spread, but I'll take Philly to win.
Good for them.
Dallas at St. Louis. Dallas at St. Louis. Tony Romo says he's fine.
Dallas by 1.
Really? They give it like a Fred Kirsch, like, we'll be fine.
Yeah, people say he's got a bad back, but he says he's good.
Who's got a bad back?
Romo.
Tony Romo.
He's got a really bad back.
Who's the... Yeah, didn't he have a surgery?
Yes. That's why I was like, who are we talking about?
A bad team to have a bad back against, because my boy Quinning could run right through you and send you to the sideline at any time, but I'm just not going to pick the Rams to win until they make me.
I think it'll be a close game back and forth, but I think Dallas will win by single digits. 4 to 5, 6 points, something
like that. Just go with the best... who's the best player on the field?
Maybe Robert Quinn.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant would be the two questions I'd have.
I'm going to go with Quinn and Dallas. Not feeling really good about it. And as Fred would say, I'll be rooting for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But I think Dallas will win.
If Bradford was playing, I think this would be a layup. But he's not. So Dallas wins. Yep. San Francisco at Arizona. San Francisco, this is a 4:05 game. Mm,
San Fran by 3. Those Rams are great.
So he picks one team.
I don't think Arizona is very good. You don't.
What was it again?
By 3. San Fran.
San Francisco by three. Is Carson Palmer playing?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I'll go with San Francisco then.
Easily. On the road. Winning cover.
That was the most surprising game to me last week, was that the Niners fell apart late in that game against the Bears. But I think they bounce back and win this one.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
It's good Kaepernick stinks. San Francisco.
Andy didn't make any drinking jokes in that afterwards.
For what?
The Bears coming back and beating San Fran in San Fran.
Do you know people that live?
It was last call.
People that live in San Francisco.
All right, so we did.
Don't like it when you call them San. Call it San Fran. They hate that.
I thought it was Frisco. They didn't like.
Yeah, San Fran either.
Especially when Brady. Did.
And the proper way to say it is San Francisco. It's not San Francisco.
Here's where Paul says, "Who are you to tell me how to say?"
There's actually a lot of people like that.
I know.
Like. Jackie gets mad when we call it Hotlanta. You know, she compares it to who calls it the hub in Boston.
And Beantown. Nobody calls it Beantown.
Whatever her thing was. Right. And I know Oregon is one.
Oregon is the proper way to say it. Oregon. They don't like it when you say Oregon. Oregon.
Right. I knew that was one. I mean, there's a lot of people that are offended.
Do you get mad
if people... Pawtucket, Pawtucket.
Do you get mad if someone calls it Beantown?
I don't really care.
Never bothers me.
Nothing bothers.
Nothing
you.
To get mad about, but it identifies the person as not being from here.
Yeah, that's all it does. No need to get mad.
Yeah, but we sort of do it sometimes.
Who?
Yeah,
I've heard people use that term all the time.
For example, if we were thinking of headlines, we sure. use cliches. We use
I know you guys don't care about it, but there is a tournament they call the Beanpot. So
right.
I don't know how much people in Boston don't think it's called Beantown.
What is this Beanpot you speak of?
No, it's not that we don't think people call it
lifetime.
I've heard a lot of people say
him
that.
And Buckley just sit there next to each other.
All right. Kansas City at Miami, 425. Kansas City at Miami.
Miami by 4.5.
Miami by 4.5 over the next
winless
up,
Chiefs.
Andy Reid will blow out his Achilles maybe next, and right. he'll be sidelined. I'm going to say the Chiefs win this one. I don't know why.
I agree. I don't buy the Dolphins.
Call it a gut.
I really don't, and I think the Chiefs can win this game.
Now, Andy?
Two bad teams, take the Dolphins.
I'm going back to my
booyah!
My crap theory.
Me too. It's still September, and it's still in Miami. Kansas City's hurting. You got to go with the Dolphins. All right. Probably the matchup of the week, 425, Denver at Seattle. Denver at Seattle.
Seattle by 5.
I think this is going to be a good football game. I am going to take the Seattle Seahawks to win, but I will take the points.
You will.
I think it's going to be a field goal game. I do not see a blowout in either direction. I think you may have a good heavyweight fight here where, 10-point lead, and then somebody comes back and forth. I'm not buying that either team, by the way, is playing as well as they did when they won the Super Bowl either. So I think that'll be sort of cause for it. Seattle wins, Denver covers.
I kind of agree with Andy in that it'll be a close game, but I think it's a late cover for Seattle.
I don't believe this is going to be a close game. I think Seattle's going to kill them. I think they're really down on the what happened last week, and they bounce back. And Denver, I think, is still working some stuff out. They haven't gotten the kinks worked out for a full game yet. They're searching for it, and I don't think they have – the type of team that can win in Seattle. If this game were in Denver, I'd pick Denver to win.
It's not.
But it's not, and I'll pick Seattle. Can't do
that. I'm going with Seattle, too. I don't see that much difference between their defense now and the way it was in February last year that won't give Manning problems in Seattle, especially.
Well, the same offense.
No one's going to hear Omaha.
That right. same offense. that same offense really had a good time with Seattle last week. Mike McCoy's offense went up and down the field on them last week. But I think it's different in Seattle.
In Seattle.
I think that's the difference.
Pittsburgh at Carolina, Sunday at 8:30.
Carolina by 3.5.
We have another doubleheader on Monday night?
No.
No.
Oh, no, that's Sunday. Okay, I can't read. Pittsburgh at Carolina, Sunday at 8:30.
I'm just going to go.
What's the number, Paul?
3.5, Carolina.
I think this is two middling teams, so I'm going to take the home middling team. I don't think the Greg Hardy thing is any like emotional or whatever. I think they'll be fine, and I think they'll win at home.
I hate to do this, but I think Pittsburgh is the better overall team, so I'm going to go with them.
Did you say Pittsburgh's favored by 3.5?
No, Carolina by 3.5.
Oh, okay.
So they get their half-point favorite because you get 3 being at home. That's right. What we always like to say.
Right. Fred likes to say it. He stole his line. I'm going to take Carolina. I think this is a toss-up game, though. I agree with you guys.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I'm going to take Carolina. Monday night, 8:30, Chicago at New Jersey.
That one never gets old for me.
It's true.
Jets by 2.5. But you never say it about the Giants. Yeah. You only say it about the Jets.
Chicago
that's the funny
New
part.
Jersey. What's the spread?
2.5, Jets.
Jets by 2.5. I'm going to take the Bears. I'm going to say the Bears have two of the tougher receiver matchup duos, even though they're banged up. The Jets don't exactly have stellar cornerback play. I choked on my tongue.
Right, man. Yeah.
And we've stayed in Jersey City. Not a lot of great bars. Maybe they go to Bazookas, but Cutler will be okay. So Bears get it done.
I like the Bears. I've liked them all offseason. I like how they've started so far, and I think they're a much better team than the Jets. They'll go in there and roll.
Now, they're a brown bear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could not possibly think any differently of Chicago than Eric just explained. I think they have two excellent wide receivers and a great running back and virtually nothing else. They have no defense. Their quarterback is erratic. I think they lose.
Really?
Coming off that game.
Well, you like the Jets.
I don't think much of the Jets either, but they're playing at home. So, Andy?
Take the home team.
Two crap teams, take the home team.
Why didn't you just always take the team? Like, two good teams, take the home team. Two middling teams, unless it's a wide divide.
Because you can't go with that all the time.
Maybe you should try.
I don't know if this is true, but over the last three years...
In general, you pick...
Your way's not working.
In general, you pick the home team, don't you?
I don't know.
I don't think there's very many teams that are somewhat around 500 or above that have lost more home games than the Jets. They seem to lose more than their share of home games.
Now, seem to
for
or
a decent home
teams.
Field disadvantage
for a decent team.
Have you researched this, or you know?
No, it's just off the top of my head.
It's anecdotal,
and I might be wrong.
Strippers, please Google
quickly. It just
seems
that way. It just seems that way that Meadowlands isn't that great a home team advantage. What? What? What did he do?
I didn't do anything.
What are you laughing at, Eric?
I put my picks in, no one else's. He's laughing. That's my pick.
Oh,
I already
picked
the Patriots.
I thought that was Fred's column.
I did nothing. I'm sorry. I did nothing.
I really did. I thought that was Fred's
column. Yeah, these guys, especially him, he thinks I talk to the books.
I'm picking Chicago.
I do.
All right, now we go back to Sunday at 1 o'clock, Oakland at New England. Paul?
Patriots by 14.
Biggest spread of the week.
I'd be stunned if it's not 17
or more. It's the only game involving one team that's not in the NFL.
It's true. The Raiders stink. They have a rookie quarterback. The Patriots have something to prove. They're opening up at home. It's a marquee game for them. It's going to be a nice, beautiful day. Everything's going to be rolling. They blow them out. They run to set up the pass, as any good team should, and they win, I'm going to say, 35-11.
I like the 27-10 score that one of the callers or emailers put out there earlier on, because I think they are going to run the ball a little bit, chew up some clock. They're not going to have a ton of opportunities to score, but they will take advantage each time they do. 27-10, Pats.
Opportunity to score every time the Raiders have the ball.
34-13, and the Patriots will take the ball away three more times minimum. This game will not be close, and it will never be close.
So we're all on the Pats.
And if any of you, Fred, you have the hybrid, so probably you could do it. Dennis Allen's going to need a ride home, so could you drop him off?
Right, he's not going on to London.
That's
rumbling. Get him at Dell's.
Where it is, there's a chance that he doesn't join the team.
Paul's closed the books because he knows my pick already.
Now Eric can legitimately laugh.
Yeah, definitely taking the Patriots in this one. Big, big. This might be the 50 burger.
Last week wasn't the 40 burger.
No, but it was a big spread. I had the spread by 1 point.
It was,
did you know that?
It was barely the 30 burger.
Did you know that?
That's true.
Did you know I had that spread by 1 point?
I missed by 3. Yeah. I had 30-10.
I don't remember what I picked. Oh, 27-16 I picked. So, yeah, I wasn't close.
All right.
Scintillating score talk.
John Rook is here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How's it been going this week?
It's been going well this week.
Yeah?
I think we've been able to hold down the fort and maybe, you know, sort of right the ship a little bit and perhaps put people back in a proper perspective.
Yeah.
And all things are not as gloomy as they looked after week one, but they've still got some work to do.
Do you agree that no fan of any team should get angry when their team loses?
You're right. So you're asking a UT guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because my guys lose more, are going to lose a few more times this year, too.
I get angry.
Why don't you kick off again?
Yeah. You know, I certainly understand. That's why, you know, fans, short word for fanatic. I mean, people have a tendency to go off the deep end when it comes to their team because you want your team to win every time out, even though we know that that just does not happen. It's a rarity if that does happen. In other words, college, and even more rare in the pro ranks. So, you know, it's I understand the question, but it's really, you have to consider, you know.
Is it worth getting, you know, I guess if you're a longtime season ticket holder and your team consistently takes your money but doesn't try to make
the team
better.
Then I can understand being angry.
Right.
It's actually,
yeah, I guess I can understand that.
I can understand, but then again, at the same time, what recourse do you really have for your anger?
Well,
your only recourse you have
money.
Is to not spend the money,
right.
And do you really think that'll make a difference?
Yeah. Well, if enough people do it, it could, but.
I don't think that's going to ever make a difference here since you have a whole other stadium you can fill with the waiting list.
Well, no, it doesn't apply to the Patriots because they win, but somebody was saying.
It didn't
that,
always, though.
Like week one.
No.
I didn't mean that. I meant like years ago.
That too.
But somebody said, you know, I was angry after the Miami loss.
Right.
Is it worth getting angry about?
Well, I can understand. Angry is probably a strong term.
I would
upset.
You know,
upset, disappointed, yeah.
Disappointed.
But angry? Yeah. You know?
I get angry after losses. I do.
Why?
Because I'm an emotional wreck.
Yeah, but that's Little League, Paul. He's talking about Little League.
He gets angry after everything.
Now, it makes more sense if it's Little League coaching.
Bats,
yeah, no, I'm talking about Patriots games. I get angry. I mean, maybe not anymore as a
member of the other team. Loses.
A member of the press.
Yes.
But
he was pissed this week.
I mean, when I was sitting out in the stands every game with season tickets, I got angry when they lost all the time.
Yeah, but you'd get over it. I mean,
listen, you'd get over it. Did I carry it home with me and walk around like my dog just died all week? No.
No, but he almost fought those people after the Super Bowl.
Well, that was different. That was close.
Well,
was
do on. Tell. What happened?
I was getting taunted on the way out of the Super Bowl in 96.
Really?
Yeah, my brother grabbed me.
Really? You got taunted?
Do we have a sound bite, Kevin?
Wow. Like Green Bay fans?
Oh, yeah.
Because they were really nice to me walking back.
Oh, they were
all
like,
I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
But he let it go.
I didn't let that go. I said,
No, right. I mean, now you still haven't let it go.
Oh, no, I never claimed to let that go. I was mad.
Who's the one complete stranger? Because I'd get on the next flight to Green Bay and find that asshole.
I wanted the piece.
Wow, that's awesome.
Right. He looks at me like I had all Patriot stuff on. He's like, I'll give you $5 for the whole outfit.
Paul, you want me and Fred to look for him?
You
should have
sold.
Paul didn't mention how much money he lost on that game. That's what really
now see,
bad.
Fred, you just touched on it, though.
Right.
I didn't lose any money. Right.
Anger really, I think, comes into a lot of fans.
Other than the amount of money I spent
money.
To get to the game, I didn't lose any money.
You want
to
make $5 the home?
Only bet what you can afford to lose.
I'm not a big gambler.
There you go.
Fred, what if your team loses 31 in a row?
What if your team...
Can you be angry?
Jumbos,
baby. They're going to win this week.
Yeah, Bose.
I feel it.
Oh, you're talking
Hamilton
about
going down. Screw you, Hamilton.
Hamilton? They even have a team?
Yeah, they didn't even have a team. You went to Emerson.
Well, they don't have a team.
I know. So, like, you shouldn't be throwing stones around.
I'm not throwing stones. They're playing.
You are.
I thought Hamilton was like a polo school or
no,
something.
No, the NESCAC is an academic conference where we also take part in sports.
Where we don't know anything about sports. All right. John's up. And then fantasy football at 4 o'clock. Answer all your late fantasy questions. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.